For distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Dr. Douglas Kerr at Johns Hopkins, where partly paralyzed rats have grown new circuitry with drugs and stem cells, and useless legs now stumble along, but they work.
The goal of this research is to put it to work in humans for the many, many diseases like Parkinson's disease and Lou Gehrig's disease and all kinds of spinal damage. But that work is many, many years away.
That's CBS News medical correspondent Elizabeth Caledon. Al-Qaeda, in an Islamist website, says their new chief in Iraq was the man who wielded the beheading sword on two kidnapped American soldiers. CBS's Lee Cowan in Baghdad.
The spokesman for Iraq's defense minister said that there were signs that the bodies had been tortured, and given the fact that it took quite a while for the U.S. military to actually identify them, that might indicate that they were in fact tortured. Some reports indicate that they may have been burned. Some reports say they were not clearly recognizable at the scene where they were found, not far from where they disappeared on Friday.
The bodies are on their way back home. If North Korea tests a long-range missile, there are reports the anti-missile shield is switched on. Not that Adam Airlie at the State Department will confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm reports about operational steps we may or may not have taken.
Ivan Ulrich at the Federation of American Scientists says even if the shield is on alert,
the missile defense system is very unreliable, and in highly staged tests, it has succeeded only about half the time. So there's a possibility that even if they sent up this test rocket, that we might try to intercept it and fail.
Besides, Ulrich says he doesn't think even North Korea would be crazy enough to shoot in the direction of the U.S. mainland. WWL reporter Chris Miller tells us the National Guard is moving back onto the dangerous streets of New Orleans.
About 100 National Guard soldiers arrived here in New Orleans carrying with them their essential gear.
I've got a 12-gauge shotgun. It's a pump shotgun. I got an M9 pistol, handcuffs, magazines, control device. It's basically an extendable baton.
Basically the same stuff issued to most city police officers. Most of these soldiers have law enforcement experience. They're police officers or sheriff's deputies in their civilian lives. Chris Miller for CBS News, New Orleans.
First it was guns, now it's knives. In London, a survey found children as young as 12 are able to buy knives in British shops, despite all the fatal stabbings in the news, despite the laws that would keep them from doing so. There are calls to raise the age for buying a knife now from 16 to 18. Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 33 points to close at almost 10,975. The NASDAQ was off today about 3 points, and oil prices closed at $68.64 a barrel. That's down 4 cents. This is CBS News.
Yeah, my truck doesn't have coverage, but if my boat hit it, will my boat policy pay for the damage to my truck?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical.
Will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, you will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
Hey, I'm Tom, and today's my 9th day with Prilosec OTC. Because of frequent heartburn, I couldn't even enjoy my kids' games. But with Prilosec OTC, that's all changed. Now, when my daughter's soccer team takes on the Wolverines, I'm there yelling. She really hates that. Imagine, zero heartburn for 24 hours with one pill a day. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. It's day 9 for me. What day are you on?
Use as directed for 14 days for treating frequent heartburn.
The most polite people in the world.
The top three in our global test were New York, Zurich, and Toronto.
That's right, New York on top. Conrad Kieschel at Reader's Digest says his undercover reporters found New Yorkers more polite than people in 35 other of the world's major cities.
Globally, younger people, those under 40, were basically a little more polite than the over 40s.
90% of New Yorkers held the door open. 19 out of 20 store clerks said thank you. 63% of men and 47% of women stopped to help pick up a dropped file folder. of spilled papers. Cool under pressure on a Russian TV news channel. Olga Belova and Anton Krekov are the anchors. While they were on the air, a couple of makeup artists walked onto the set, evidently got some signals mixed, and started dusting Anton's face and combing his hair. Olga's hissing, "We're in the picture! We are in the picture!" But the makeup women just kept on dusting and combing. And Anton, cool as a cucumber, kept right on doing the news. Never missed a beat. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
This is Dr. Drew Pinsky. Some of you may know me as Dr. Drew. Today's topic is men's sexual health, more specifically, performance problems. And we've got a brave guy on the line.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm even calling, because it's not really an issue. It only happens every once in a while, like when I'm tired or stressed out, a little under the weather.
Just a guess, but are we talking about erectile dysfunction?
Oh, no, not ED. Just a very occasional little glitch. Yeah, I'd call it an erectile glitch.
Well, a lot of guys don't realize it, but ED may not happen all the time. It can be unpredictable.
Now you mention it, I never know when it's going to happen.
And that's something you want to live with?
Good point. I'll talk to my doctor.
To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com.
It's time to launch another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, from the left coast. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Carmel by the Sea. We are all the way live in vivo on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And our program is heard in the nighttime on 1240 Talk City, KSAC Sacramento, and KPHX 1480, the new progressive talk station in Phoenix, Arizona. We've got a lot to talk about on the program today. About a half hour from now, Jim Dean will join us. That's Howard's brother, and he is the executive director of Democracy for America. They're supporting progressive challengers across the nation this year. We'll get the lowdown on that. Also, we're going to talk to Rui Teixeira. He's one of the co-founders of a new publication and website called TheDemocraticStrategist.com. We're going to find out what their focus is, what their mission is, and share that with you coming up next hour. Also on today's show, controversial investigative reporter Jason Leopold is not shrinking from his critics. There was a new critical piece in the Washington Post published over the weekend, and Jason will respond to that. Also on today's show, in our third hour, Melanie Sloan in her weekly visit. With a conviction under her belt, she, of course, is fighting to reduce corruption in Washington at Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, or CREW. And the good news from her perspective is that David Savavian has been convicted in the Abramoff case, and Jack didn't even have to tip his fedora and come into the courtroom and testify. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And you can join the conversation at any time. Just pick up the phone and give us a call at 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. And before we get underway, a personal note. I'm dedicating this program today to Glenn Totten, my cousin from Sacramento, who lost his battle with lung cancer earlier today. It was his second struggle, 2 years this time. And he set a real standard for dignity in such a circumstance. Glenn meant a lot to me and will be sorely missed. If you work for an hourly wage, I would like to see you get a raise. And since less than 12% of American workers are represented by labor unions these days, many of us have to count on the generosity of highly paid political professionals in Washington, D.C. to get a raise. And I'm talking about the minimum wage. Joel Barkin is executive director of a great organization called Progressive States Network, And they are fighting on behalf of working people in this country to win a raise through the United States Congress. And Joel Barkin used to work for Bernie Sanders of Vermont. That's a great credential. Welcome, Joel.
Hey, Peter. Thanks very much.
Nice to have you on the program today.
Appreciate it.
And I just have a hunch that you know my colleague Tom Hartman, who
I know Tom very well.
He has a weekly visit with Bernie Sanders, breakfast or brunch with Bernie every week.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fridays afternoons, I believe.
Uh-huh.
But I should correct you on one thing.
Okay.
We're actually working at the state level.
Okay.
Pushing various initiatives to raise wages, including
And there
the
is a debate
wage.
Underway in Washington right now, but of course mm-hmm. it's proceeding pretty slowly, isn't it?
Right. I mean, essentially, what's happening in Washington, and I had, as you mentioned, the great fortune to work for Bernie for many years in Washington on Capitol Hill, and this was an issue we worked very hard on. But the reality is that big moneyed interests control everything that goes on in Washington and have basically made any effort to raise the minimum wage just impossible. And that's why we've been focusing most of our efforts at Progressive States on moving it at the local and state levels, where there actually has been tremendous amounts of progress. Just last week, or maybe the week before, the California legislature approved an increase to the state's minimum wage to $7.75 an hour. The current federal minimum wage is $5.15, which is well below adjusted inflation. You know, you're talking about if inflation kept up, the minimum wage would be at around $9 an hour. I think it's $9.15 or something along there.
Mm-hmm.
And as it stands, it's $5.15, which is just an abomination.
And if somebody works 40 hours at $5.15, do they surpass what we call the poverty level in this country?
Right. They are technically fall under the poverty line.
Mm-hmm. Where is poverty in this country, you know, statistically? What is the standard today?
What percentage?
No, what annual income?
I think it's under 13,000.
Mm-hmm.
Just under 13,000. And, you know, of course, health care costs are way up. Gasoline prices are way up. Every other thing is price. Costs in our lives are increasing, and wages are actually decreasing.
Yeah, but the tax cuts really haven't trickled all the way down yet, Joe.
That's right. As you know, the majority of the tax cuts have been going to the richest 1% of Americans, while our Congress can't even figure out how to raise the minimum wage to a living wage level. But there is hope on this issue, and I don't want your listeners to be totally discouraged, because what we've seen in states, both quote-unquote red and blue, it has been a lot of action on this issue, because at the end of the day, these states do have a greater responsibility for their citizens. So in addition to California, Massachusetts is poised to raise their minimum wage to $8.25 per hour, which would be the highest state minimum wage in the country. San Francisco now has a minimum wage of $8.82 an hour, and there are a number of different efforts going around the country also at the state level to raise the minimum wage. But then there's a whole other set of issues that I think are important for us to talk about, and that's, you know, how do you look beyond the minimum wage and look at different ways state leaders can promote innovative new policies to raise wages. I'll give you an example.
Yeah, what are the options besides the minimum wage itself?
I think one of the more innovative things I've seen lately is out of Idaho. And Idaho is not known as one of the more progressive states in the country, but they recently began requiring that businesses receiving workforce development training funds create jobs paying at least $12 an hour in benefits. So what that means is in Idaho, if you're receiving state workforce development money, taxpayer money, then the jobs you create must pay at least $12 an hour plus benefits. In Maryland and California, both recently saw passages of statewide living wage laws that have required all government contractors to pay at living wage. So all the government contracts that are being put out by the Maryland and California state legislatures, and the governors, they have to pay a certain wage. And we've seen similar efforts elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I can go on and on. I mean, I think one of the important issues is making sure we give workers a hand in negotiations. And that's certainly a huge issue, making sure that workers' rights are represented through negotiations. In New York, we recently saw a bill sponsored by one of our board members that extended union protections to daycare workers. I mean, this is going to create 25,000 new labor union workers in the state of New York. Colorado legislature recently passed a bill prohibiting employers who are requiring employee attendance at religious and political meetings. Making sure that we give our workers certain basic protections.
We're talking with Joel Barkin, Executive Director of the Progressive States Network, and he is spearheading an effort. Looks like I'm looking at the map here on your website, Joel, about 18 states and the District of Columbia where there are current efforts to raise the minimum wage?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you pointed out some of the bright spots. What are a couple of the real difficult spots? I see Louisiana on here, and Bush kind of suspended the minimum wage during the post-Katrina cleanup.
Right. And, there have been a number of conservative governors. You look at Mitch Daniels in Indiana, who was the former Bush administration
budget director, right.
Who has worked very hard against this initiative. But what's interesting about this issue is when you look at polling and you talk to even conservative legislators, this is not. I mean, the right has lost this issue. I mean, if you right left, I mean, there is a consensus that people think the minimum wage should be higher. And it just shows you how disconnected Washington is from this debate, and that they won't even allow, the Republican Congress won't even allow it to come up because they know it's a loser for them. And one of the constituencies we've seen pushing for higher wages has been the religious community.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been very active in advocating for a higher minimum wage, both at the federal and the state level.
Joel, we got to take a break, and we'll return in just a moment. Talk more about the fight to raise the minimum wage across the country. If you have a question or comment, there's room for your call. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free from anywhere in the continental U.S., 1-888-579-2540. 17 minutes past the hour, this is the Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives.
for many of us. One of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show About College Funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540. Sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Minutes past the hour. It's the Peter B. Collins Show as we continue with Joel Barkin from Progressive States Network. They're on the web at progressivestates.org. And you can link at the website to a list of outrageous facts about the minimum wage in America. It's been 9 years since minimum wage workers got a raise to $5.15. And in the interim, Congress has given itself 9 raises. And Joel, they're up to about $175,000 a year now in Congress. Is that right?
I think it's a little bit less than that.
Yeah, but in the 160 range?
I think it's right around 160. And I think leadership makes closer to 170.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're close. And and you're right. I mean, every year they give themselves a raise, and they always tie it into a bill when they do vote to give themselves raises.
Yeah, the Cleaner Toilets and Congressional Raise Act of 2006.
Right, so that it's hidden, and they're not actually voting on it. So,
right. Yeah. And to what extent has the average American family taken a pay cut since Bush went into office? I mean, here in California, we've had huge increases in state education costs at the university and college system, while our governor maintains that, you know, he hasn't raised taxes. It's technically true, but the cost of family life in California has gone up. We have the increased cost in gasoline, which disproportionately impacts hourly workers. People have to drive long distances to their jobs. And then, of course, we have the big spike in health insurance and health care costs. So the average American family is really straining
to cope. You know, wages are way down under this administration. Bottom line is people are working longer hours today for lower wages with less benefits. And we hear a lot in the media, the elite media, as I like to call it, about, oh, how the economy's humming and how, you know, their indicators and, say things are good, and the Fed says things are good. Yet, meanwhile, when you talk to real people and you see polling amongst the general population, it's that there is a real insecurity with what's happening in the economy right now. They see their jobs being shipped overseas. They see their wages being cut. They see their health care prices going up and the federal government doing nothing about it. But, you know, we argue over here at Progressive States that, you know, for real action, progressive action, you know, we should be looking more towards the states. And mm-hmm. even in our Republican states with Republican governors or quote-unquote red states, there's room for progressive change. And it's one of the things I talk a lot about when I'm speaking to various groups, because I know how frustrated people are right now with the federal government and with the Tom DeLays and Denny Hastert's and George Bush's. But we need to take that energy and not give up, but rather focus it on where we can and actually do have power. And that's in our states. You know, we have legislatures, we have governors, and if we can pass enough pieces of legislation in various states all in the same time, we can create a real national movement, and we don't need to sit back and wait for Washington to act.
Joel, what's the connection between progressive states and the AFL-CIO? From Progressive States' website, I jumped over to the AFL-CIO.
Uh-huh.
What is the connection?
We work closely with the AFL-CIO. They are on our board of directors,
mm-hmm.
as well as a number of other grassroots organizations like MoveOn.org,
mm-hmm.
Center for American Progress, and state legislators from all over the country. And
mm-hmm.
And basically, you know, over the last few decades, what we've seen are corporation and right-wing allies dominating state politics, pouring in tens of millions of dollars and using a combination of financial power and cynical wedge issues to encourage division and basically cynicism among the general population. And our goal is to rebuild a culture of engaged citizens mobilized to hold both corporate and government institutions accountable. We're doing this by building a real broad-based alliance between progressive groups, by focusing on a sort of core set of issues of protecting the environment, supporting working families, investing for a sustainable economy, and increasing democratic rights. But understanding that if you are interested in the environment as an activist, and that is your key issue, well, then it's, you know, your other key issues should also include these other things as well. You know, you should be worried about what the minimum wage is. You should be worried about increasing democratic rights. And
well,
it's all
and
part
the reason,
of the same agenda.
Joel, the reason I brought up AFL-CIO is I'm a proud union member, and we're affiliated with AFL-CIO, been
Excellent.
In the union for over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm pleased to see is that organized labor recognizes that
right.
people who are not covered by union contracts need their support. And also, indirectly, this is in the best interests of people who are working under union contracts, because when the gap between the minimum wage and union wages continues to grow, that
right.
puts a lot of pressure on employers to bust unions,
yep.
hire illegals, and mm-hmm. do everything possible to keep their wage costs down. And I also believe that this is an important effort in reducing the illegal hiring of undocumented Americans. Because, you know, as long as people can get away with low wages, they're going to do whatever they can get away with to achieve that.
That's absolutely right. You know, particularly with immigration, you know, one of the things that AFL has been very good about, and one of the things that we've been talking about is, you know, we need to be focusing on the employers, you know, the ones who are breaking the law.
Well, and I just read an item today. I don't have it right here in front of me, but the number of employer investigations last year was 4
right.
nationwide.
Right.
And that's just inexcusable. And for these right-wingers to thump their breasts and, you know, talk about the border when we don't even enforce the laws that are on the books today, it's just shameless. Joel, I want to thank you for joining us today. Visit the website progressivestates.org to learn more about the state-by-state battle to improve the minimum wage. Thank you, Joel.
Take
Coming
care.
Up next, Jim Dean will join us from Democracy for America.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters on KRXA 540 every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. We choose topics that touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. You've heard what Oprah said about using intention to change your life, how celebrities like George Clooney, Brad Pitt, and Angelina Jolie are spotlighting important global issues we need to care about. We've had programs on the great art of storytelling and how best to love your pets. Listen to all our shows archived on my website, joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. You can also download them to your favorite MP3 player. We love to bring you programs that are truly meaningful, subjects that keep you thinking, feeling, knowing, and growing. My books, Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway, can be found at Amazon.com. So keep listening. We'll keep talking. Don't miss my show, Joan Kenley's Talking Matters, every Saturday at 3.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues live from the left coast. I'm your humble host, Peter B. In the next hour, two looks at the future of the Democratic Party. Reed Teixeira from the Democratic Strategist will join us next hour. Jim Dean is up next. But first, let's take a look at the other side.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections.
Would somebody please change the regime?
We just passed a new bill recently. It's for people with no brains.
Jim Dean is the executive director and chair of Democracy for America. Jim, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure. Nice to talk with you. And just for clarification, you're not the sausage guy, right?
I'm not the sausage guy. No relation. I'm actually the chair, and we actually have a very terrific executive director, Tom Hughes.
Mm-hmm. And also, you didn't do that Big Bad John song in 1960?
No, I didn't.
And are you really Howard Dean's brother?
Yeah, I'm his younger brother.
Oh, that's great. Well, it's nice to clarify that and keep you out of the sausage and recording artist business.
Yeah.
Well, I was struck by your organization because yesterday I got an email urging me to go to your website to support the candidacy of Nancy Skinner, who is running for Congress in Detroit. And I know Nancy because she's a radio talk show host, and she ran for the Senate in Illinois a couple of years ago. So tell us a little bit about what your focus is on helping progressive challengers get elected in this midterm year.
Okay. Well, first, just to back up a second,
All right.
You know, we're an organization that's really fueled by about 650 groups around the country in 49 states who are very politically active. Most of them came out of Howard's campaign, but they've kept the political activism up. There are about 38 or 40 of them in California. And they tell us, which candidates we should be supporting. And what we try to do is a group is working for a candidate, say, as the groups around San Diego did for Francine Busby, we try to send out national messaging to help raise a few bucks and get some more volunteers for campaigns like that. Most of these races are local races or down-ballot races, state legislature. We're supporting Deborah Bowen, for example, for Secretary of State.
Are we?
she's
great.
She's terrific. And one of the things that we're doing now is sort of having a grassroots all-star vote, and that's where you got the email for Nancy Skinner. She's part of that.
What was totally cool?
Yeah.
You used instant runoff voting in this web poll.
Yeah.
And just yesterday we were talking with a voter activist about IRV and the benefits that it offers. So I just thought that was really neat because I had just participated in that similar process.
Well, I think it's definitely a workable deal. It's worked up here in Burlington, Vermont, in the mayoral race and some of the local elections here. And I think instant runoff voting is part of the future of clean elections.
Well, I certainly agree. Now, let's talk a little bit about the grassroots campaign that you have underway.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the current results posted on your website, Nancy Skinner is number one in the running. And another guy who we focused on our program, Jerry McNerney,
yep.
who is challenging the despicable Richard Pombo in California District 11, he's currently ranked number three. Now, these guys aren't going to be invited on American Idol, are they?
No. We don't do anything like that. We certainly don't want to suck up too much of the candidates' time. We just do it because we want to get people excited about these races and get them involved. We're going to send some money to the winners, and we're also going to continue to support other federal races. This isn't the only thing that we're going to be doing for the federal races this year, but it's just a way for us to get people in our community thinking about who to run for and thinking about who to support, rather,
right.
And generate some excitement. I mean, it's the summertime, but no time is better than the present to get people involved with some of these candidates. They're terrific.
Jim Dean with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, Jim, tell me how effective it is for people to leave a district that is fairly safe for Democrats or progressives to go into another district and campaign. There was kind of mixed reaction to that in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Californians, for example, went over to Nevada to try to twist a few arms, knock on a few doors, and persuade a few people. And it seems that sometimes the interlopers don't really get a good connection with people. A neighbor-to-neighbor approach, local-to-local, seems to work best.
Well, I certainly would agree with that. I think we heard some of that about Californians and Nevada. Of course, we heard in Howard's campaign about lots of people coming from all over the country to be in Iowa. And it's very clear, and I talk about this a lot, that the most important thing that people can do is really to talk to their family, friends, and neighbors. But, you know, I'm not against folks coming in and helping to door knock. I think it's very, very important that the voters be personally presented with a choice. And in so many of these areas, they haven't known that choice for a long time. And I think, you know, that person-to-person contact is extremely important. If you can do it locally, it's even better. You know, I used to be in the market research business, and we always knew that familiarity was the biggest driver of brand equity. But that familiarity really has to come from person-to-person contact. And I think we're way beyond the point where we can just televise our way to victory in many of these races. You got to get out there and you got to talk to the voters personally. You got to present them with a choice and give them some information so that they can make an informed decision. And again, to your point, yes, it's much better if you do it. If you're able to say, hey, I live down the street and I'm helping this person who's running for office, I think that's much more effective. But either way, it's got to get done.
Mm-hmm. Jim Dean is with us. It's Democracy for America is the name of the organization. They're on the web at democracyforamerica.com if you'd like to drop in and visit their website. Now, how do you work this out, given that your brother is the chair of the Democratic National Committee?
Mm-hmm.
And let me just give you one example. Here in California, many of us were energized when Marcy Winograd challenged Jane Harmon.
Yeah,
and
she was
there
a
many
great
of,
candidate.
Yeah, there are a lot of progressives who feel it's important to send a message to people like Congresswoman Harmon who support the administration on wiretapping and spying and the
yep.
war in Iraq and far too many issues, that it's important to send them a message
yep.
that the party is not sitting still for, you know, this kind of straddling or triangulation. But does that cause problems for Dr. Governor Dean when he hears from Jane Harmon, who says, you expect me to put money into the DNC when your brother's out there trying to sink me?
Well, the fact of the matter is their the legal status is that we just don't coordinate at all. And that's one thing, and that's very important, and that's something that we pay very, very strict attention to. The second part is that this is a grassroots-driven organization, and I know that Howard understands this, and anybody who goes into our website will understand it, that, you know, the support that we lend to candidates is driven by the people in our community on the ground who want to see these candidates get elected. So when six or so groups in Connecticut are calling us saying, we really want you to support Ned Lamont because he's a terrific candidate and we need someone who's going to stand up for real Democratic values, even if it means running against Senator Lieberman, that's when we go in and do those things. And, you know, we're just a separate organization that does our things our way. And I know the DNC is involved in trying to make our party a 50-state party, which I think is terrific.
And how many times
we don't
a week does your
candidates or anything like that?
How many times a week does your brother have to field a phone call from Senator Lieberman saying, "What are they doing to me now, Howard?"
Well, actually, we haven't discussed any of this for a very, very long time. So, to be honest with you, I don't know how much, how many phone calls he gets about it. But you know, he's on a different mission. I mean, he spends most of his time, I know, traveling around the country, trying to help state parties become more effective. So I don't think he's in Washington too much to take those calls to begin with.
Yeah, he's been doing a great job in terms of communications, the interviews that he does,
mm-hmm.
and presenting a strong face for the Democratic Party. I really appreciate his assertiveness. And I heard him that there was a little trap that Campbell Brown laid for him on the Today Show one day last week. She, you know, fed him a quote from Steny Hoyer, who is, you know, refers to the MRSA plan as precipitous withdrawal,
yeah.
and referred to Nancy Pelosi's support for the MRSA plan, and said, "Well, you've got a divided party." And he shot back, "Oh no." And
yeah.
I just think he really is not thrown off by the little sneaky traps that media people lay for him.
Well, he's probably used to a lot of that from his campaign, but you know, on this point in particular, it really kind of gets me. You know, we've seen Democrats come out now and are starting to come out in strong numbers for a real serious plan for getting our troops home. And, you know, when I see that and I see this as a party that's, you know, doesn't have the House, it doesn't have the Senate, doesn't have the White House, and yet they're taking a leadership position on this debate, and I think that's very admirable of them, you know, whether it's Jack Murtha or John Kerry. And I think, unfortunately, the mainstream media is really just all they're focusing on is whether they disagree on the number of troops to be withdrawn or what the timetable is. And I think that's really, you know, it's pretty petty stuff. I really appreciate the fact that so many people are starting to really stand up for getting our troops home.
We're talking with Jim Dean here. Democracy for America is the organization. DemocracyForAmerica.com is their website. And we respect our elders here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Alice joins us from Humboldt. Good afternoon, Alice.
Hello, Jim.
Hey, Alice, how you doing?
I know that your brother knows just how much of a problem these voting machines can be.
Yep.
Why are not the Democrats shouting about this?
Well,
if Democrats were using crooked voting machines, you can be sure we would be...
You got it, Alice.
Yeah,
if Democrats used one crooked voting machine, every Democrat who won an election would be challenged. Jim?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. And, you know, I can't speak for the DNC. Again, it's a separate organization, and we don't really talk about any of this stuff between each other. But I do know I get this questions about this all the time everywhere I go. And I think a lot of things, the good things that are happening out there is when communities, whether it's DFA or other communities, are taking the lead in their own districts to fix these machines. And, you know, we were very pleased to be involved with the Reform Ohio ballot initiative last year. And we've managed to do some messaging when there, you know, there are local issues that are coming up with these machines, because that's where a lot of this stuff is going on. And we're trying to be as supportive as we can. You know, I think I can say this for a lot of groups. You know, it's a pretty full plate out there. You want to get your candidates elected to office. You want to get people with real democratic values elected into office. And you've got to manage the situation where, you know, the Republicans are trying to purge the voting rolls before elections and all of this technology that's not working. So, you know, a lot of this has to do with, I think, a full plate. But I think for Democracy for America, where we're trying to do stuff on this issue is locally, and trying to help and get people involved and get people to call their legislatures when the secretaries of state are making unilateral decisions, as they have been in California, to try to get them involved in this thing, and also to help support candidates like Deborah Bowen, who really are committed to fixing this whole problem.
Yeah, well, Bowen does really get it.
Yeah, she sure does.
We got to take a break. Thank you for your call, Alice. Jim will be back in just a moment. Jim Dean is our guest. Democracy for America is his organization. And there's room for your call if you have a question or comment. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast. Or call us toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m.
treats yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented us from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 10 minutes from the top of the hour. We continue our conversation with Jim Dean. He's the chair of Democracy for America, and they are supporting progressive challengers all across the country this year. And Jim joins us from the Green Mountain State, where some of my roots are. My grandfather had a house on South Union Street there in Burlington, Jim.
Oh, wow.
I spent a few summers on Mallet's Bay, a beautiful part of Lake Champlain there.
Oh, it sure is. It's beautiful there, and I actually did some kayaking there about 5 years ago, but I haven't had a lot of time for that lately.
Yeah? Do you live on the lake?
No, I actually live in Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
And I come up here during the week, and then I usually travel on the weekends because that's when we're doing most of our trainings and most of our candidate support, or at least public disability candidate support.
Yeah, great. Jim, I want to come back to the point that Alice made about the integrity of our elections.
Yep.
There are many people who have reviewed the situation in District 50, the Busby-Bill Bray race, and are not satisfied. Progressive Democrats of America have said that they are unconvinced by the outcome. And we have a regular segment on this show with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, who focuses on voting machines and voter integrity. And when you look at what happened in San Diego, it stinks. Those electronic voting machines were out and unsecured for 48 hours to a week.
Yep.
In the hands of, you know, these part-time election officials. And that is a clear violation of the security protocols. And from there, you can go into deeper issues about potentials for hacking. But in a race where only 4,700 votes divided Busby and Bill Bray,
yep.
shouldn't the Democratic Party have stood and fought and waited for a certified vote? And shouldn't the Republicans have waited to swear in Bill Bray until the vote was certified?
Well, my understanding about the swearing-in part is that, you know, that does not preclude the vote from still being questioned or challenged. And, you know, my focus has been is, you know, my concern is I'm not sure what the campaign wants to do about this. And the reason I'm concerned about that is because, you know, I think Francine's going to be running again in November.
She is. She won the Democratic primary for the two-year term that will be decided in November.
And I know our, you know, some of the folks that I've talked to around San Diego are, you know, it's not, there's a little bit of conflict here because they you know, they want to still keep this fight going. And so there's a little bit of an issue about where they devote their resources. Do they devote their resources at this recount? And this is a little bit like the problem I was discussing earlier. Do you vote your resources and your valuable time on the recount, or do you need to move forward and try to get this thing done in November? And that's a conflict. I mean, I think it's a conflict for every person in this country who wants to change it. It's where do they spend their valuable time? We all have jobs. We all have families we have to take care of, or loved ones, and that's a tough situation.
We now have the situation. I'm from Ohio. My grandfather was from Vermont, but I grew up in Ohio.
Yep.
And I'm ashamed of what happened there in 2004. And I'm so disappointed that John Kerry and the Democratic Party, even though they had set aside funds for post-election issues, really didn't stand up and fight. We have to thank the Libertarians and the Greens for pressing for the limited recount that occurred. Now we have Robert F. Kennedy Jr., to his credit, doing a deep analysis. The
lengthy article he published in Rolling Stone.
Mm-hmm.
And at the Take Back America conference in Washington last week, I was so delighted to hear Jan Schakowsky, who, by the way, a congressman from Chicago, will be on our program in the first hour tomorrow. She made an explicit endorsement of RFK Jr.'s findings in Ohio, said she thinks the election was stolen, and she's trying to get the DCCC to issue a kind of alert to Democrats across the country to be vigilant about these issues.
Right.
I think that's the least we can do. And I'm not trying to replay the 2004 election. You know, I accept that that's water under the bridge. But we have to make sure that they don't do it to us again, Jim.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, there are a lot of groups that are sort of, you know, thinking about different ways to handle this. And there's two things right now that I think we really need to be focused on. One is what's going on with the voter rolls. I mean, are the lists being purged, and who's doing it, and how is it being done, and who's taking part in the process? And that's something that goes on at, you know, you could say it's possible it could go on in almost any of the 13,000 voting districts around the country. The second thing is that if you're someone who is not either willing or able to perform get-out-the-vote functions over the next, you know, during the November elections, think about going to work the polls. This is a good thing to do. It's a long day, but there's plenty of usually coffee and refreshments there. You get paid a little bit of money, and you're going to be there as a voice and as a person who will help ensure that there's going to be an honest, you know, an honest process in the voting. And those are two things you can think about doing right now, but these are the things that we're trying to sort through at. Where are we going to get people to spend their valuable time?
Jim, what about the turnout in the Senate race in Virginia last week? 3.5%. What the hell is going on there?
Well, probably a little bit of election fatigue. Seems that they had a huge race in November. But nonetheless, you know, I got to tell you something. I wasn't even that impressed with a 60% turnout in the 2004 presidential elections, Peter. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're a country that's supposedly at war against terrorism. We got all this stuff going on. We have the worst president, at least in my time, that's ever been, you know, sat in the White House. And, you know, the fact that 40% of the electorate stayed at home then was scary. And I'm very, very concerned about that right now. And I'm concerned about people who are just, you know, saying they're burned out. Well, it doesn't take too much to go to the polls and vote. You could say it's even a national security issue. I mean, if you want to do something, you know, to really help this country's national security, you need to show the rest of the world, number one, that we really care about what's going on here. And I think that's really important. And there's some big, great races going on, outstanding races in Connecticut. We have an opportunity to decide what the course of the Democratic Party is going to be in the Ned Lamont versus Joe Lieberman race. Ned Lamont is a fantastic candidate.
I met him last week. Very impressed.
Yeah, he's going to make a great senator, and people really need to go to the polls. And it may be an August 8th primary in the middle of the summer, but there's plenty of absentee ballots to go around, and people can vote.
Let's talk to Joe in Monterey. Joe, join us with Jim Dean here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering if he knew one of the first times I heard about the vote shifting thing was right after the election when Howard Dean and a woman, I forget her name, she was a computer expert.
Bev Harris, Black Box Voting on MSNBC.
Yeah, they road tested a machine.
Governor Dean was co-hosting or maybe it was a test drive or something like that. And
right.
It was a very impressive situation.
Right,
Jim?
He did a backdoor entry and shifted the votes.
Yeah, Jim, your comment?
Yeah, you know, my feeling about this is, and I got to hand it to everybody out there, and yourselves included, and Joe and Peter yourself, who have really been making this a mainstream issue. This is where the voting machine thing becomes a mainstream issue, because it is the competency of all of this that is really failing. You know, we have a great Secretary of State in Connecticut, and she was supposed to test a new set of machines under HAVA and all of that stuff. 40% of them failed the test. And she said, we're going to keep it the same way until we find something that really works. And she knew that she had the backing and the implicit backing of the voters in Connecticut who demand competency.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting to see Florida coming around on this thing, and it's getting beyond partisanship.
Jim, we're going to keep the pressure on. I'm out of time today, but I want you to come back on the show. Really enjoyed talking with you.
Peter, I appreciate it. I'd love to come back anytime.
Jim Dean, democracyforamerica.com. Visit their website. Support progressive challengers this year. I'm Peter B. Collins.
this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented them from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Stem cell research produces big dividends.
A stem cell breakthrough against paralysis. I'm Dan Raviv.
Two missing soldiers are found dead in Iraq.
The bodies of the two Americans were meant to be found.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. This could be big. Researchers have used stem cells to treat paralysis.
The researchers at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore injected embryonic stem cells from mice that grew into new nerve connections in paralyzed lab rats.
Their legs were dragging behind them. They couldn't move them. By 6 months later, they were back up to around 35 to 40%.
They were moving. Dr. Douglas Kerr hopes to do even better. And just a year ago,
I would have thought that it was more kind of science fiction.
Now federal research chiefs are intrigued, suggesting that trying this stem cell technique on paralyzed people may be approved in about 5 years. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
Violinist Yitzhak Perlman was crippled by polio as a child.
The stem cell research is extremely important, and I'm hoping that it will cause a real wonderful, wonderful revolution as far as illnesses that we just took for granted are hopeless, you know, and this gives a new hope.
Now this.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
This is Dr. Drew Pinsky. Some of you may know me as Dr. Drew. Today's topic is men's sexual health, more specifically, performance problems. And we've got a brave guy on the line.
I don't know why I'm even calling, because it's not really an issue. It only happens every once in a while, like when I'm tired or stressed out, a little under the weather.
Just a guess, but are we talking about erectile dysfunction?
Oh, no, not ED. Just a very occasional little glitch. Yeah, I'd call it an erectile glitch.
Well, a lot of guys don't realize it, but ED may not happen all the time. It can be unpredictable.
Now you mention it, I never know when it's going to happen.
And that's something you want to live with?
Good point. I'll talk to my doctor.
To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com.
Perhaps because they were feeling the heat from U.S. and Iraqi forces, the insurgents holding two American soldiers murdered them and left their bodies not far from where they were abducted. CBS News correspondent Lee Cowan in Baghdad begins our coverage.
The U.S. military says they were placed in the open, just south of Yusufiya. But they were surrounded by an elaborate series of booby traps designed to kill more Americans.
There were some IEDs in that location, and they did have to dismantle some stuff to get to them.
The soldiers' remains are being flown back to the U.S. for DNA verification and autopsies. Senior Iraqi military officials whose troops took part in the search effort say they were tortured.
I'm Peter Mayer in Vienna. Air Force One taxis to a stop as President Bush arrives here for a quick summit with European Union leaders. Plans for discussions on Iraq have been overshadowed by the news of the violent deaths of the two American soldiers in Iraq. National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley calls the deaths the latest reminder of the brutality the U.S. faces in Iraq. It's a point the president will likely make in his talks with EU leaders. Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president in Vienna.
Army Private Christian Menchaca of Houston was 23. Private Thomas Tucker was 25. His hometown is Madras, Oregon. Trudy Cunningham worked with Tucker at a local convenience store.
It's almost like losing one of my own. I feel like a mother figure to all the kids that work down here, and it's just really hard.
There's a claim on the Internet that the two Americans were slaughtered, and that's the word they use, by the new leader of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. U.S. military officials say the group's religious leader was killed in an airstrike today. 2 years ago, when a couple of soldiers from California were killed in Iraq, it was blamed on an ambush. But Army investigators were suspicious, and now, reportedly, they've concluded the men were shot by Iraqi civil defense officers who were on patrol with them. If North Korea tests its new long-range missile, the United States might try to shoot it down. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports the nation's limited missile defense system is designed to deal with exactly this kind of threat.
The first sign of a North Korean launch would come from an infrared satellite, which would detect the heat of the missile's rocket plume as it lifted off the pad. As the missile gained altitude, it would be picked up by the radar of an Aegis cruiser and then by a giant radar based in Alaska. Within 3 or 4 minutes, the radars would have collected enough data to compute the trajectory of the missile and answer the all-important question, where is it going to land?
A decision to shoot it down would have to be made within minutes. Not a tsunami, just big waves generated by a storm thousands of miles out in the Pacific hit the Central American coast with such force that at least 20 coastal homes in Nicaragua and Guatemala were destroyed. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care, bumper to bumper. From diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. All backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. And right now it's our biggest Michelin tire sale of the year, with Michelin tires at the lowest prices of the season. If you're going places this summer, make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best. Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. See LN7806.
Yeah, my truck doesn't have coverage, but if my boat hit it, will my boat policy pay for the damage to my truck?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical.
Will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, she will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and cities.
It is useless to resist us.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues from the left coast. We are oozing eastward. Warn your friends. Coming up later this hour, another escapade with Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter from truthout.org. We'll talk about the recent spate of attacks on him, including an article in the Washington Post over the weekend. And Melanie Sloan will visit with us next hour from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. There's a new conviction of a Republican appointee. But first, we're going to talk with Rui Teixeira, the Democratic strategist. We got a problem, friend.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job because of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties because he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Recent polls indicate that a majority of Americans, including many Republicans, have actually had enough of the Bush administration, the lies, the failed policies, the poor management. And these polls indicate that support for Republican leadership on a variety of issues has dropped starkly across the board. The fortunes of Democrats haven't really changed that much, but in comparison, it looks very bright. And many people look at those polls and suggest that Democrats will take back at least one House of the Congress this fall. I'm not so sure. Rui Teixeira is with us now. He is a co-founder of The Democratic Strategist, which is a magazine and a website that is available to you at thedemocraticstrategist.org. Rui Teixeira, welcome to our program.
Glad to be here.
You're a joint fellow at the Center for American Progress, where we have a lot of pals. We originated our program last Wednesday from the Center for American Progress radio studio, and you're also at the Century Foundation. One of your most recent books is The Emerging Democratic Majority that you co-authored with John Judis.
Correct.
And, Rui, I was struck by the information that you supplied at the Take Back America conference, and that's what caused me to ask you to be on the program today. And I'm encouraged by this, but I guess I'm a little cautious. I believe that the Democratic Party needs a respectful, loving, knock-down, drag-out fight to determine, you know, where we stand and how we unify ourselves for this November's election. Is that the focus of your efforts at the Democratic Strategist?
Well, I wouldn't say a knockdown, drag-out fight, but I would say a vigorous debate is in order. The theory behind the magazine is that we feel that Democratic strategy typically is not approached in the spirit of, you know, let's check out our ideas against the facts. In other words, people have their sort of pet views about what they believe will work as a political strategy, and they tend to disparage those with whom they disagree. And that's probably not the best way to form a strategy. There's a lot of data out there, public opinion data, demographic data, voting data. And our view, that of my co-editors, Bill Galston and Stan Greenberg, is that, you know, could have a much better and more organized, disciplined, and more productive discussion if we try to articulate our strategies and argue vigorously with one another and then sort of check out our own views against the facts as best we can.
Understood. And what I'm driving at is that I feel that over the last 15 years, the party moved more and more to the center. And as the center line has been moved further and further to the right, it leaves many of us who consider ourselves liberals, and I'm not afraid of that word, or progressives, sensing that the Democratic Party is trying too hard to be the number two corporate party or Republican light. And while I respect that we have many candidates running in difficult battleground states this year, Senate races, for example, in Missouri and Pennsylvania, where centrist Democrats are running, I don't want those people to lose. But I also don't want the Democratic Party to lose its focus on the core groups who have supported it for so many years.
Yes, well, I think most of us would agree with that, and I think that one thing that's striking about the way the debate has evolved in the Democratic Party and definitely infuses the spirit of our magazine is that I think a lot of the old debates where people were so convinced that, you know, we must be above all else centrist, we must be above all New Democrats, and everything else is wrong, and you know, to some extent on the other side, too. We must have the most liberal position at all times, in all places, in all races, and everything else is wrong. I think people, too, have grown tired of that. I think people are realizing we face a different political situation than, let's say, we did in the early 90s when, you know, arguably, certain aspects of Clintonism were kind of necessary to rehabilitate the party's image and succeed among some of the voters they were losing, particularly white working class voters. So, you know, I think we now have a lot of experience and a lot of data since then, and we've seen that while that approach has some merit and has achieved some successes, it's fallen far short of what the Democrats need to accomplish. Therefore, we need to be more, we need to entertain other approaches. Maybe we don't want to be purely liberal or purely New Democrat, but maybe we need to be something new, something different. I mean, I think that's a little bit of the spirit of the blogosphere, to be honest. I think that most people in the blogosphere, they have their own particular point of view about different policies, and many of them might call themselves liberals, but I think what matters most to them is they want to win, and they see the Democrats as not articulating a clear enough philosophy and campaigning in a tough enough way to be able to make that happen.
Well, when people talk about winning as the focal point and the ultimate, here on the West Coast, we cannot escape the specter of Al Davis, the owner of the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
And he famously has told his players he doesn't care what they have to do. It's just win, baby. And I think that that philosophy has diminishing returns, and I feel like we reached them in 2004, not only at the presidential level. And my feeling is that while I recognize that liberals comprise only, what, about 21% of the Democratic Party?
Well, the electorate, a much bigger proportion of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, 21% of the electorate. So we liberals, and I'm speaking for myself and others, need to recognize the very urgent requirement that we coalesce with moderate people in order to reach a majority. I do understand the math. But
okay.
I also feel that in 2004, we saw a party that lacked leadership and risk-taking. And there was a hope, I think, coming out of the convention that if the far left of the party, the anti-war groups and, you know, the people who have been agitating around a choice and other issues that are polarizing but that do move the party further to the left, that they should just sit down and keep quiet, and that John Kerry and others were essentially going to either seduce or manipulate some independent voters, maybe even a few Republicans, into voting Democratic. And I think that was a mistaken notion. I think that while I didn't want to see Kerry come out with far-left positions, the speech he gave last week about the war was the one I wanted to hear in 2004.
Yes, well, I think that one thing that the co-editors of the magazine tend to agree with, and I certainly agree with, I wrote a long paper along these lines with John Halpin called The Politics of Definition, which is available on, I guess, the Center for American Progress website, also the American Prospect website, where it originally appeared. And I mean, and that, in fact, is a sustained argument about just what you're talking about, that the Democrats suffer from what we call an identity gap, that one could argue about what the appropriate you know, sort of policy profile or thematic profile to present to the electorate is, but you do have to say something, you do have to stand for something. Otherwise, you know, you just seem kind of wishy-washy. And Kerry attempted to avoid, in some ways, as you say, the liberal label by trying to kind of waffle on a lot of things, and that just doesn't work. I mean, the Democrats, by and large, are the liberal party. They will be viewed as a liberal party. They, by and large, are the party of government. They'll be viewed as such. By and large, they are the party of sort of modernity, of the different social movements that arose in the 60s and, you know, diversity and social tolerance. Democrats are all that. And the thing is to define that for people in a way that sounds pretty good to them.
Well, and
you know,
we can't
John
have...
and I argued for a politics of the common good in our paper that kind of draws on a lot of those strands and puts forward a party that does stand for that, the common good of all Americans and the things that unite us rather than divide us. And, you know, the Democrats, again, I mean, part of what our magazine wants to do is have a debate about those kinds of things. We don't want to, you know, we want to look beyond, and we don't want to have debates about just, you know, tactical shifts to the center. That's not an interesting topic of discussion for us. We're looking much more long range, and we're looking for a much, you know, sort of a substantial goal.
Rui, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, I want to ask you about your ideas on how Democrats can deal with the very difficult wedge issues that Republicans are quite clever at creating. Gay marriage, of course, is the most recent, and the immigration debate, I think, falls into that category, too. So we'll pick up there in just a moment. If you have a question or comment for Rui Teixeira, join us at 831-899-5792. Toll-free lines open to 888-579-2540. Visit their website, thedemocraticstrategist.org, and get more information on this new effort. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
KRXA 540 takes a look at traffic on the ride home. It's 420. Here's Metro Diane.
Well, we have an accident in Salinas. It is Highway 68 at Laurelis Gray. We have two vehicles involved in this one. They have been moved out of the roadway, so they're on the shoulder. CHP en route to take a report and hopefully clear them on out of there pretty soon. Also in Bradley, northbound 101 on the Bradley Road off-ramp, we have an accident on the right-hand shoulder. And also be aware, trucks spilled a little bit of sewage in the roadway there. Second Highway 17, both directions to the Santa Cruz Mountains, stalled and accident-free. And also in Salinas, Davis Road between Westwich Parkway and Auto Center Circle, there's some maintenance work going on in the area as crews resurface the roadway. So the southbound lanes are closed with traffic detour to one northbound. This report is brought to you by Mattress Discounters. Now at Mattress Discounters, you'll pay no interest for up to 24 months on approved credit. Plus, save big on special purchase Sealy and Simmons mattress sets. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about a new publication. It's a magazine and a website called thedemocraticstrategist.org. And one of the founding editors, Rui Teixeira, is with us on the program this afternoon. That's R-U-Y. Don't try to add a D there. Rui is the man's first name. And, Rui, I wanted to ask you about these challenging wedge issues that Republicans continue to foist on the public and to the detriment often of Democrats. In 2004, we saw the issue of same-sex marriage paraded as if it was the most significant threat to our personal security. And I saw a very muddled response from Democrats. Here's John Kerry from Massachusetts, the state where an activist group of judges, changed the law. And I view this as progress, as civil rights, and as something that Democrats should stand up and be proud of. At the same time, I recognize that there are a lot of Democrats running in red states where these issues have wedged the voter population, and it doesn't play well for Democrats. So how do we deal with that?
Well, it's a good question, and, again, let me stress that the magazine, as a magazine, has no particular position on how to handle these issues. In fact, what we're trying to do is generate a debate about the best way to deal with exactly these kinds of political problems and strategic challenges. That said, I mean, my view is that you can't really hide from who you are, and that in terms of something like gay marriage, while one would necessarily, as a national candidate, want to run in a program of legalizing gay marriage, I think one has to be pretty forthright about where one stands on the general issue of tolerance for, different groups in society, for civil rights, for probably civil unions in the case of gays, and that, you're against intolerance, that it demonized the other side. Instead of letting them wedge issue you, turn it right back on them. I mean, people in the United States are fundamentally tolerant, and they're in a very different space about issues anything to do with gays today than they were 40 or 50 years ago, and we should recognize that and try to gain from that. The Republicans actually run a very serious risk when they push these issues. If it's handled the right way, it can go right back and sort of allow them to lose moderate suburbanites, who in fact are an important part of their political coalition, but who are very much not part of the hard right and very much oriented toward a more moderate, tolerant stance toward these kinds of issues.
And
the worst
thing
you could do is run from it.
Likewise on immigration. I see this as a way that Republicans have tried to play on the fears and prejudices of Americans, and the Democratic position is not clear, and it doesn't have a focal point, based on principles that Democrats can rally around.
Right. Well, the polls do tell us that the position of the median voter in this country is essentially for immigration reform, including a path toward citizenship, that there's interest in tough enforcement, including, beefing up the guards at the border and so on, and there's some support for other things as well. Fundamentally, people are given a choice. They say they would support measures that would deal with the illegal immigration problem, not in a punitive way, but rather in a way that tries to help the people who are here gain a productive and legal way of being in the country and, in fact, including a path to citizenship. So I think especially on this issue, there's no reason for Democrats to run away from what is presumably is their own point of view, which is that immigrants are people, too. And, we're a nation of immigrants, and our party in particular welcomes immigrants. And we want to figure out how to make them the most productive citizens possible at the end of the day. And not only will I think this pay dividends with sort of the average moderate voter, who in fact is not punitively oriented, but also, of course, with the burgeoning Hispanic population, who are find the attitude of a good chunk of the Republican Party on this absolutely anathema. People are nuts.
Here in California, we saw the overreach of Prop 187, and it cost Republicans dearly in terms of statewide office here for almost 10 years.
Right. So I think this is sort of like the gay marriage thing. Make it a wedge issue back the other way. Make it a wedge issue among Hispanics. Make it a wedge issue among moderate suburbanites. I think, again, the worst thing you can do with these attacks is to be defensive.
Mm-hmm.
The better strategic move is to use it to divide your opposition.
And how are we going to create or develop a unified position on the war? It was stark contrast last week to hear Senator Clinton with, as Frank Rich pointed out, she failed to alight on either of the extremes. She says that, she can't just stay the course, but she also can't support a planned withdrawal. And
yeah.
Senator Kerry followed her an hour later with very explicit statements that I found very, very much in sync with what I think is the majority of Democratic voters today. So how are we going to struggle over this issue and come up with a winning position?
Well, I think, again, this is exactly the sort of thing that our magazine wants to address in the most factual possible way. And I think there's an abundance of public opinion data out there that can help you think about this issue effectively. As far as I can tell from looking at the data, I think the evidence is pretty good that people don't want to, quote, cut and run in the sense of an immediate withdrawal, but they don't consider a timetable for withdrawal to be cutting and running. In fact, it's by and large a majority position. I mean, this is sensitive to question wording, but people are basically sick of the Iraq War. They think it's been a failure, by and large. They think it's we got in there for the wrong reasons, hasn't worked out, and they're looking for a way to get out. And, there a debate needs to be had about what's the best way to capture that sentiment. And it's not clear to me that you can capture that sentiment by essentially saying you agree with A and B. You're both for leaving and staying.
I'd like to see Democrats take a pledge not to bite the ankle of other Democrats. Steny Hoyer has made routine comments disparaging the MRTHA position and calling it a precipitous withdrawal. It is not that. And for him to say that simply gives support to the other side.
I agree. I think, again, we need to have civilized debates among Democrats, not provide ammunition for our enemies.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rui, it's a pleasure to talk with you, and let's keep the dialogue going.
Absolutely.
I think these are good issues to air out, and I look forward to when is the magazine's debut issue going to be published?
It is, in fact, online now. So, you know, browse over to thedemocraticstrategist.org and check it out.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. We'll talk again. Rui
okay,
Texera.
Thanks.
Coming up next, Jason Leopold returns to the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll talk about the recent pummeling that he's received in the media. That's next, right here.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Three minutes past the hour. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. And joining me in a second, Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter from truthout.org, the author of a powerful new memoir called News Junkie. And I have a little inspirational passage here for Jason from the Gospel according to Grace Jones. Jason, how you doing today?
Man, you always seem to find the right song to go along with my mood. I have to hand it to you, Peter. You definitely you got a good collection of music there.
Well, I feel for you, man. I just have to say that I've read some of the attacks on you in the blogosphere. I read this Washington Post story written by a freelancer that was published on Sunday. And I just want you to stay strong and recognize the reasons for which you are being attacked.
Yeah, well,
I appreciate that. It's part of a vast right-wing power group.
I'm having dinner with Hillary tonight, so
are you?
No. that would probably get me into more trouble than this.
Tell us about Joe Lauria.
You know, I've got to tell you, I've clearly, questioned the timing of this. And not only that, I have been looking at my email correspondence with Joe Lauria, and something doesn't smell right here. And
let's tell people, most of our listeners haven't read the Washington Post piece that he wrote. And what he alleges is that you impersonated him in calls to the spokesperson for Rove and Luskin, a guy named, is it Mark Corallo?
Mark Corallo, correct.
Right. And he's a flack. Who was hired to do damage control on the media side for Rove and Luskin during this ongoing grand jury escapade. And so in this piece, Lauria, based on remarks by Corallo, claims that you impersonated him in phone calls to Corallo in the critical period of time after you published your first piece, which indicated that Karl Rove would, in fact, be indicted.
Correct, yeah. And, by the way, it's funny, you said he's there to do damage control, and that's clearly what he did.
Yeah.
I mean, and literally, there's damage done, and he's certainly in control of it. This is really interesting. Like any good story, there's always, a backstory, on what exactly went down. I met Joe Lauria in New York about a month ago. And I had been there on the first leg of my book tour, and he was somebody who my publicist had arranged me to interview with because he wanted to write about my book. He read my book, and we spent about an hour together. I even bought the guy dinner, which I'm,
You regret.
I regret, although it was not that expensive, so it's not too bad.
All right.
And we started talking about Karl Rove and the stories that I was doing. And this was actually 3 days before the Karl Rove story I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
We left off, and the Karl Rove story came out. He sent me an email saying, congratulations on that story.
And let's just read the last line from this email because he was expressing a kind of solidarity with you.
Yeah.
In contrast with the so-called corporate media, and I'm trying to find the line here, and I don't see it. But it was something to the effect of, here it is. Let's see. Well, here it is. Great work today on the Rove indictment. It's been mentioned on Huffington Post. Let's see how long it takes the rest of the elitist press to catch up to you.
Yeah.
All the best, Joe Lauria.
Right. And that certainly, his attitude changed when my story came out. And, I spoke to Mark Corallo. I spoke to the guy on numerous times, which he is out there saying that never happened. And Mark Corallo had been speaking with a blogger that, saying that I never spoke with Jason Leopold. I spoke with some guy named Joel. And, Joe Lauria in his piece says that he read this on the blog, and then he called me up, which he did. And again, in the email, sent me this lengthy note, and I emailed him a response saying that that's ridiculous, because Joe had put himself. This is what really sort of angers me is that, you know, somebody writing a story questioning my ethics, which clearly I have, you know, exposed the you know, my own shortcomings,
mm-hmm.
but I cannot sit back and allow, you know, patently false statements and accusations to just be printed about me when there's no truth to it.
All right, then let me depose you, and you don't have to raise your right hand because Senator Specter isn't here. Did you, in fact, ever call Mark Corallo and pose as anyone other than Jason Leopold?
No, not at all.
And did you, in fact, speak to Corallo, which he has denied?
I did speak to Corallo, and he, in the emails that, my email correspondence with Joe, I actually, I don't think we could say it on the radio, but I had, I wrote down exactly what Corallo said to me.
He was channeling Dick Cheney to Pat Leahy, right? He told you to go F yourself?
That's exactly what he said, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And drop dead. I'm just thinking back on that conversation. So when my story was out there, and then suddenly I'm hearing that Corallo, he never spoke to me at all, and it really, started to clearly illustrate the fact that these guys were, now trying to shoot the messenger, which, mm-hmm. It's not something you put past them. I mean, they've got a history of doing that.
Well, and can we just, for clarity here, cite that the origins of this whole case revolve around the attempts by the Bush administration with Karl Rove, Scooter Libby, and Dick Cheney calling the shots to manipulate the media.
Yeah.
To leak the information about Wilson and make it look like the media leaked that, not the White House.
Exactly.
That's the basis of this case.
Yes. Thank you.
All right.
You.
So
thank
to layer to layer onto it by attacking another reporter or attempting to sandbag another reporter from a less prestigious, less funded, less lawyered entity like Truth Out.
Right.
That doesn't seem so far-fetched to me, Jason.
No, it's not far-fetched, and what's disturbing is that, first let me just say that, you said less lawyered. That's important because I am certainly going to state my case, with Washington Post, because basically what they've accused me of is a crime. They've accused me of identity theft, in essence, yet offering not a shred of evidence to back it up. There is not a shred of evidence out there other than hearsay, other than a statement by Mark Rowell. As I was telling Matt, your producer, I find that the Washington Post's priorities are, aren't in order here. They've written five stories about me over the past 5 weeks. Where are their priorities? I appreciate the coverage, but, there are more important issues. And the fact is that this piece was put out under the guise of being an opinion. You can't put out an opinion piece and accuse somebody of doing something when you don't have any evidence to back it up, A, and B, it's ridiculous. It's baseless.
Let me chime in here, because on the one hand, I have not seen any serious effort to challenge the assertion of Robert Luskin without proof that Karl Rove has been notified that he won't be indicted. Fitzgerald
right.
has not confirmed it. Luskin won't release the letter.
Right.
And so that is hearsay. That is, an assertion by an attorney.
Right.
And we have seen, so far, no evidence to confirm the assertion that is being made.
Right.
So then, with that as the framework, we have the attack on you using assertions from Corallo, who is, just on the face of it. I've never met the man. I've never met Robert Luskin.
Right.
But Luskin, is an attorney who has, a judicial canon of ethics and those kinds of things that you can at least think about. Corallo has no such inhibitions imposed on him.
Right.
And so for him to then make an assertion that the Washington Post publishes without any further corroboration is as flimsy as their reporting on the Roe issue itself.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it clearly demonstrates how they are able and how they use the media, as you stated before, because, I'm not saying that this guy shouldn't be given a platform to make a comment, but it certainly he should not be the one directing the coverage. And the fact of the matter is that Mark Ash, my editor, in his post, one of the many editorial notes that we put up over the past few weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, he actually put up a post in which he said that Mark Corallo had called Howard Kurtz of the Washington Post to plant and to give out his personal information and phone number and information to attack Truth Out. So that's exactly what Howard Kurtz did. Mark called him out on that, at the time. And clearly, this is what's being done. And I think that in the big picture, it really should be looked at as, I'm onto something. I mean, there's got to be something here. I don't understand why people would, it doesn't make sense to be so aggressive in trying to discredit somebody when there's really when you have all the evidence to prove that you're supposedly in the clear. So I think that what's happening is that like what they've done to other members of the media and how they use the media is that they're just basically trying to whittle you down into to a point where you're ineffective.
It's the swift boat technique, and they're trying to use you to send a message to other reporters which says, don't F with us, or we'll tell you to go F yourself. We're going to take a break, Jason. We'll be right back. And we'll take some calls, too. If you'd like to talk with Jason Leopold, come on. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast. Toll free, 888-579-2540 here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters on KRXA 540 every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. We choose topics that touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. You've heard what Oprah said about using intention to change your life, how celebrities like George Clooney, Brad Pitt, and Angelina Jolie are spotlighting important global issues we need to care about. We've had programs on the great art of storytelling and how best to love your pets. Listen to all our shows archived on my website, joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. You can also download them to your favorite MP3 player. We love to bring you programs that are truly meaningful, subjects that keep you thinking, feeling, knowing, and growing. My books, Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway, can be found at Amazon.com. So keep listening. We'll keep talking. Don't miss my show, Joan Kenley's Talking Matters, every Saturday at 3.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from Reality Radio, just reminding you of our new time slot, 9 to 10 Saturday mornings on KRXA. We're your local progressive talk radio. We'll interview our homeless and our wealthiest, local celebrities, ordinary and extraordinary people. We keep it real here. So meet me Saturday morning right here, 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. I'm Sheila Gale, and together we're Reality Radio.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
KRXA 540, it's 4:48, and coming up right after 6 o'clock, Barry Lynn has Culture Shocks, the program that takes a look at controversial issues Barry Lynn is the head of Americans United for Separation of Church and State and does a great program. We've got Metro Diane now with your latest traffic.
Well, keep your eyes open in Salinas, northbound 101 before Hartnell Road. Couple of blue baskets in the lanes there. Also, Santa Cruz Mountains, Bear Creek Road at Sunset Ridge Road. Possible fallen power cables all the way across the roadway there. So crews are en route. Definitely drive with caution, though. An accident in Opal Cliffs, Portola Drive at 35th Avenue. And also an accident reported in Live Oak, Capitola Road at 7th Avenue. So CHP en route to check that out. This report is brought to you by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. Learn more by visiting TomTom.com.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Have it, Liar Liar Pants on Fire. We're talking with Jason Leopold. He was slimed in the Washington Post over the weekend, and maybe you should send some flame retardant pants over to Mark Corallo.
yeah, seriously. You know, I tell you though, it's really fascinating to sort of, you know, when I say fascinating, I don't necessarily mean that in a good way. It's you know, you never really, as a journalist, you know, obviously you don't want to become the story. And, you know, in light of the fact that I wrote this book that, you know, details, I give, you know, plenty of information and details of what goes on behind the scenes and certainly what I did behind the scenes. And I knew that would, you know, be used in a way to, you know, to try and discredit me. I just...
Shall we call it the petard on which you are being hoisted?
Yeah, I guess you can, you know... call it that. And
so, Jason, do you regret, you know, writing this,
absolutely
this book
not.
That is so honest?
No. In fact, quite the opposite. I actually am relieved that I wrote the book because, you know, for me, I get to say, sorry, guys, but, you're too late. I already broke the news. I broke that story.
I do understand that, but it was painful for me to read Lauria's piece because he wove into it a series of attacks on you and your credibility
based
on your honest discussion of your past in the book.
Well, you know, the hard part for me is the reality of not being able to control what everyone thinks and what everyone is going to feel and the fact that I knew that being that honest was going to somehow come back and bite me. But, you know, I certainly didn't do it for, you know, I wrote it because I needed to write it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly, you know, wasn't something that I was willing to back down from, just like this story. And you know, I think that, you know, what we have going for us is the fact that, you know, we have our own truth and we believe in that. We believe, you know, in this story and we believe that, you know, and it's not just because we believe it. We believe it simply because of, you know, the painstaking effort that that we went to you know, corroborate all of this. And I do think that, you know, these things are going to play out. And, you know, what I have to say, it's just that my experience has taught me that when you... you know, what use the word swift boat or the phrase swift boat someone, it's because you're afraid. You're afraid of what they're going to, you know, uncover. And
right.
I think that right now, you know, the fact is that these guys are in a vulnerable position because they're the attackers. And the attacker is always in a vulnerable position. And I think that, you know, the longer they do this, the more I'm going to keep getting back up and you know, trying to, you know, get to the bottom of it.
I wish I had that song. There was a British group a few years ago, I Get Knocked Down.
Oh, yeah.
Get
that's
back
a
up again.
Chumbawamba.
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 Never going to keep me down.
Yeah. Yeah,
Dave,
exactly.
Dave from Humboldt. Join us with Jason Leopold on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. Jason, a general observation, if I might, and that would be, when was the last time that Karl Rove was innocent of anything.
So, yeah.
And you indicated last week that you remain in contact with your sources. Does anybody know how the hell he got off?
Yeah, well, you know, I have to tell you, it's quite unbelievable what's going on behind the scenes. And we're obviously in a difficult position now in terms of, you know, continuing to report this story because we have to deal with the fact that we've become the story. But, you know, what we were told, and we spent, like I said, countless hours, and this, by the way, this is not a one-man operation. This is a staff of, more than a dozen senior editors at a full-fledged news operation speaking with the sources, corroborating everything. And what we were told is that this was a quid pro quo. This was basically an offer to Karl Rove that he must cooperate, this indictment will be filed. And right now, the fact is that and cooperate in terms of we actually Mark and the Truth Out editors posted a very lengthy another note late last night, saying that what we were told is that the information provided will perhaps lead to Cheney, but it was a quid pro quo, and it was not a situation where Fitzgerald said, well, I don't have enough evidence, or thank you very much, you can go now. It was it was quite the opposite. And again, what really surprises me is that since this announcement was made last week, nobody has. The media is by and large they do have somewhat of a responsibility to report the news, but they're just simply reporting the press release.
Yeah, somebody needs to really get to the bottom and establish that Fitzgerald actually did give this relief to Luskin on behalf of Rove. Dave, thanks for the call. I got a bunch of people holding here. Let's go to Julie in Carmel. Hi, Julie. You're on the air.
Hey, first of all, thanks for having Jason on. Jason, I applaud your courage, and so do so many others, and my heart goes out to you, and I just want to, if it's any consolation, bear in mind that the Dixie Chicks were vilified and their CDs were burned, and time went by, and now they're at the top of the charts.
Yeah.
Hang in there. And
thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that.
And also, we it's pretty obvious to most of us out here that people who tell the truth are, in general, being vilified. I mean, even though Dan Rather's source was a little sketchy, the service of Bush is still in question.
Right.
Yeah, and Dan Rather had to leave CBS today under a cloud. And it's really sad to see that occur. And again, so many people are sitting by silently and not saying what I'm about to say, which is Dan Rather had most of the story right.
Right.
And
yep.
I believe he was intentionally fed this phony document so that they could play gotcha. And
amen.
CBS News and the rest of the corporate media sat back and let him get chewed up that way. And it's shameful. It really is. Thank you, Julie. Harvey,
thank you.
Harvey in Eureka, thanks for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Jason Leopold.
Yes, I really appreciate your work, Jason. It's really wonderful.
Thank you, Harvey.
But, I was thinking of, now what, I lived through Franklin Roosevelt, and I was thinking, now what would he say and if he were accused? And he would say something like this. If this man wants to flatter himself into thinking that anybody would ever impersonate him, he is sadly mistaken, and I must prick his balloon by saying that I would never impersonate such a miserable person.
That's
Harvey,
beautiful,
that
Harvey.
that's great.
And also, I am the person that called and said that Karl Rove would never be indicted, because he has too much on too many people. But the other side of that is that if we pound on this is their Achilles heel. Why, you ask the question, why is Karl Rove not, why is the Why has the indictment against Karl Rove not proceeding? You know, raise the questions, the identification with these journalists that he had, and continue to press this issue, because this this is a soft spot, and
yeah.
and goodness knows we gotta
return the favor. Thank you, Harvey. We're out of time. Jason, we'll talk again next week. And I
look
want to thank you
to it,
for
Peter.
Your work, and you keep us posted.
Thanks, Peter. Take care.
And pick up the novel. It's not a novel. Pick up the memoir, News Junkie, and you'll learn more about Jason and what he's been through. Coming up next, Melanie Sloan, a conviction in the Abramoff cases. We'll tell you more next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. All day long, we've been hearing the tragic story of two American soldiers kidnapped and murdered in Iraq. Now there's news about a couple of soldiers killed 2 years ago. At the time, it seemed they died in an ambush. But in findings to be released tomorrow, military investigators reportedly conclude that the men were shot by Iraqi civil defense officers who were on patrol with them. As for the two Army privates whose bodies were found today, Major General William Caldwell makes this vow.
Our resolve is... will continue until we find the final disposition and take the appropriate action against those who perpetrated this event.
By some accounts, the men were tortured and killed in a barbaric way. CBS News correspondent Lee Cowan reports there's a message on the Internet claiming the slaughter was carried out by the new leader of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, Abu Ayyub al-Masri.
Whether that Internet site is to be believed or not, one thing seems clear. Whoever it was that killed these two U.S. soldiers seemed to go to an awful lot of trouble to send a message, a possible hint that their tactics may be shifting from attacking civilians to U.S. soldiers.
It looks like a major advance in stem cell research. Scientists at Johns Hopkins University have used stem cells from mice to restore some movement in paralyzed lab rats. CBS News medical correspondent Elizabeth Kaladin.
The scientific world is appropriately excited about this research, but they see it as something that scientists would call proof of principle. In other words, we know in principle that this can work. Whether or not it can be translated and turned into any kind of a commercial or marketable procedure in the world of medicine is a long way off.
The process is by no means simple. In addition to the stem cells, the researchers used a chemical concoction to encourage nerve growth and make all the right connections. Even so, Tom Bush, who suffers from SMA, spinal muscular atrophy, is encouraged.
It's really good news because it means that there is hope that many of these diseases can be stabilized and improved, even if marginally.
It's now Wednesday in North Korea, and the Bush administration believes the North could test fire a new long-range missile at any time. If it does, CBS News correspondent David Martin reports the Pentagon's rudimentary missile defense system might be put to work.
No one thinks North Korea would be so reckless as to actually fire a missile at the U.S., but it is possible, and the military is duty-bound to defend against it, or at least try.
U.S. satellites and radar are poised to track the missile if and when it lifts off. John Fabrizi, the mayor of Bridgeport, Connecticut, tearfully admitted today that he's used cocaine while in office, but Fabrizi says he's been clean for 18 months and has no plans to resign. This all came out because a federal prosecutor inadvertently released an FBI report that a suspected drug dealer claimed an associate had a videotape of the mayor snorting coke. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 32 points today. This is CBS News.
Every day, millions of people go to Match.com. So many of them find love, get married, and raise families. So So is online dating for you? Now, Match.com has created a new starter kit so you can find out. And for a limited time, it's free for everyone who visits Match.com. Online dating is a great way to meet someone these days. Get going with our new starter kit. Yours free. Only at Match.com, the number one site for love.
You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care, bumper to bumper. From diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. All backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. And right now, it's our biggest Michelin tire sale of the year, with Michelin tires at the lowest prices of the season. You're going places this summer. Make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best. Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. See LN7806.
A week from Saturday, NASA plans to resume space shuttle flights despite objections from safety and engineering managers who aren't sure Discovery's ready. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports.
The objections surround fuel tank debris that could damage Discovery's heat shield and kill the crew on its way home. NASA says the astronauts can wait for a rescue at the International Space Station if they find damage, but Discovery itself would be lost and the program canceled. Program manager Wayne Hale says it's a risk, but...
We gamble the program every time we launch a vehicle in a thousand ways.
Hale tells CBS News the new tank is better.
This is widely much better understood than it was before.
And he says, unlike before, NASA's faced problems head-on with free and open debate. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
Kmart is having a sale on fine art. Pieces that decorated its former corporate headquarters in Troy, Michigan include a Picasso tapestry and a 15th century Ming Dynasty watercolor on silk. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
This is Dr. Drew Pinsky. Some of you may know me as Dr. Drew. Today's topic is men's sexual health, more specifically, performance problems. And we've got a brave guy on the line.
I don't know why I'm even calling because it's not really an issue. It only happens every once in a while, like when I'm tired or stressed out, a little under the weather.
Just a guess, but are we talking about erectile dysfunction?
Oh, no, not ED. Just a very occasional little glitch. Yeah, I'd call it an erectile glitch.
Well, a lot of guys don't realize it, but ED may not happen all the time. It can be unpredictable.
Now you mention it, I never know when it's going to happen.
And that's something you want to live with?
Good point. I'll talk to my doctor.
To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit JustAskToday.com.
Six minutes after the hour as we launch into the final hour of the Peter B. Collins Show today. I'm glad you're listening.
Sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within.
Can you dig it?
Smiling faces.
Can you dig it? Smiling faces don't always tell the truth.
They don't tell the truth.
And one of them got nailed today in Washington, D.C. For the latest, we go to Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. A guilty verdict for David Safavian, Melanie.
Yes, a good day for the good guys today.
Uh-huh.
David Safavian, who is the former head of the General Services Administration, was involved in the Abramoff scandal. When he worked for General Services Administration, otherwise known as GSA, Jack Abramoff would send him emails saying, you know, what about this piece of property? Do you think I might be able to get a good deal on this? And Safavian would write back and tell him whether he thought the property was appropriate for him or if he could get it. Well, then Abramoff scheduled a golf trip to Scotland, and we've talked a lot about this golf trip because Representative Bob Ney was also on the trip, along with Ney's former chief of staff, Neil Volz. Former Christian Coalition head Ralph Reed, and David Safavian. So David Safavian had to ask the ethics officers at GSA if he could go, and they said, well, are you doing any work with Jack Abramoff? And Safavian lied and said no. But in fact, he was, as we know from the emails, doing work with Jack Abramoff, and so he lied to government officials about it, and that's what he eventually was charged with, and today he was found guilty of four counts of making false statements and lying to investigators.
He has three counts of making false statements, one of obstructing justice. Do you know what the distinction was among those charges?
Yes. Making the false statements is initially lying to investigators, and then when it's obstruction of justice, it's when there was an ongoing investigation into the matter, and he tried to keep the truth about it from them.
And one thing that I find interesting here is that despite the connections here to Jack Abramoff, Mr. Fedora did not testify in this case.
No, he did not testify, but the important thing was that his emails were introduced. And the other person who had a really bad day today besides David Safavian was Bob Ney. And Bob Ney is likely to be the next person indicted in this scandal. And Neil Volz, his former chief of staff, testified against Mr. Safavian. So we got a preview of his testimony. And he'll testify against Mr. Ney, and he'll know a lot more about Mr. Ney. I believe that federal authorities did not have Jack Abramoff testify against David Safavian because, frankly, he's a fairly small fish, and they wouldn't have wanted to lay out their whole case against somebody like Bob Ney, where they will have him testify.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, they were able to get away with just using the emails. They were able to introduce them without Mr. Abramoff's testimony. And it was the emails and Neil Volz's testimony that sunk David Safavian. And we know that Bob Ney is, that's a bad thing for Bob Ney because he's been saying, well, who's going to believe, you know, Jack Abramoff, and given that he's now cooperating with the government, and Neil Volz, who's also cooperating, already pleaded guilty, people, there's always a question about whether a jury will believe a cooperating witness because they've made a deal for their story. But by the fact that Mr. Safavian got convicted, we know that, in fact, a jury did buy what the emails from Mr. Abramoff and Mr. Volz's testimony, and that's very bad news for Bob Ney.
Now, on the trip to Scotland, Safavian did file a disclosure form, but he really lowballed the actual cost of the trip. Do you think that played a role here, or was it more just cut and dried that it was clear he was not honest with the investigators who came and talked to him?
I think it's mostly that he wasn't honest with investigators, but I think that his dishonesty came through on the stand when he said things like when he paid $3,100 back to Mr. Abramoff and said he thought he was paying back all the money he owed him. When it came out at trial that the golf rounds cost $400, that they stayed in a hotel in London that cost $500 a night, and that they were ordering $100 rounds of drinks, it became clear that Mr. Safavian had to know he was lying.
Yeah. And is that the end of this particular case? There's no other co-defendant or a dangling participle here?
No, that is the end of this case. And, you know, interestingly, he's not even likely to serve a particularly long sentence, although the sentencing, the statute allows him to get basically 5 years on each count. The sentencing, the federal sentencing guidelines call for more like between 15 and 30 months. So you can look for him to serve only about 2 years. But the reason he went to trial was partially that he was he didn't have somebody to give up so that he could get a better deal. He, you know, unlike, for example, Neil Volz, Bob Ney's former chief of staff, he could cooperate and give up Bob Ney. But David Safavian was working pretty much on his own over at General Services Administration, and he didn't have other fish to toss over to the Justice Department.
Yeah. All right, now let's turn our sights to Jerry Lewis, a powerful Republican congressman from Southern California. He is chair of the Appropriations Committee, right?
That's right, one of the most powerful members of Congress. And things are also looking very grim for Jerry Lewis. This is a scandal that has nothing at all to do with Jack Abramoff, but is a huge scandal nonetheless. Basically, it involves a former congressman named Bill Lowry. And Bill Lowry lost his seat to Duke Cunningham in an ethics scandal, interestingly. And I think he once asked me what it was he lost the seat over, and it was actually he was involved in the House banking scandal.
Oh,
and he bounced over 300 checks worth over $100,000. So anyway, Mr. Lowry became a lobbyist, and who does he lobby but his close friend Jerry Lewis? And in fact, he has been responsible in the past 6 years, he and his clients, for giving over a third of Jerry Lewis's campaign contributions to him. And in return, Jerry Lewis has made all the earmarks for all of Mr. Lowry's clients. And if you would think one of the advantages of having your own member of Congress be the chairman of appropriations would be that you wouldn't have to hire a lobbyist, but Redlands, California, which is where Mr. Lewis is from, has actually had to hire Bill Lowry to get their earmarks, and it is apparently well known that if you want your earmark from Jerry Lewis, you got to hire Bill Lowry. Federal investigators are now on that case. They've issued a bunch of subpoenas to a lot of the municipalities that hired Bill Lowry's firm. And on Friday, it was announced that Bill Lowry's firm was breaking up because it was both a Democratic and a Republican firm. And the Democrats pulled out of the firm to start their own because they said all of this scandal was really hurting their business when it was really only the Republican side of the firm that was under federal investigation.
And so does Lowry remain a lobbyist, or is he just a full-time defendant now?
You know, he remains a lobbyist, but I'm quite sure a fairly ineffective one, except for maybe with
Jerry Lewis.
And really, you can't do better than Jerry Lewis. So probably Bill Lowry's clients are not going to be in a rush to throw him overboard right now.
Yeah, very interesting to see all this play out. Now, I actually have a little new theme music for Dollar Bill Jefferson. It's Everlast. And the Democratic caucus kicked him out, or at least asked him to temporarily step aside from the Ways and Means Committee, which has been Congressman Jefferson's access to pork and earmarks.
That's right, and that was that's very big news. And there was I will say that it has somewhat more symbolic value than anything else. The Democrats are trying to keep their message of culture of corruption going, and by saying it's a Republican culture of corruption. And I will agree that most of these pay-to-play scandals all involve Republicans. But the Bill Jefferson, you know, it's going to be a tough call. But who gets indicted first, him or Bob Ney? Things look very bad for William Jefferson.
Are they're different prosecutors, I take it.
Oh, yeah, very different prosecutors.
Uh-huh.
And there was an interesting court hearing in Washington, D.C. on Friday because Mr. Jefferson is trying to get the papers back that were taken from the search of his Capitol Hill office. And he has the House counsel also on his side. A bipartisan group of members of Congress have agreed that they all want to fight this and say that they shouldn't be, that justice should never be able to search a member of Congress's office. And so we had this big constitutional argument on separation of powers and the speech or debate clause. And the House counsel and Mr. Jefferson's lawyer both were appearing before the judge. But it seemed like the judge, whose name is Thomas Hogan, the chief judge of the District of Columbia Court, was not sympathetic to their arguments. And it looks like they'll lose. And in the future, offices of members of Congress will be subject to search by law enforcement authorities, as both the public and I firmly believe they should be.
Now, you used to work on the Hill. Do you see this as a bad precedent or simply a clear-cut case? So you got a warrant, you can serve it.
It's a pretty clear-cut case to my mind. You know, the House and Mr. Jefferson's lawyer keep saying, well, you know, you just can't have justice willy-nilly charging in and looking into congressman's office. But they didn't. They had a search warrant that had to be a sitting federal judge had to approve, and there was an 80-page affidavit that was used to get that warrant. So there were a lot of precautions taken. It's not as if justice can just start walking in and searching congressman's office anytime. And really, why should their offices be any more protected than your or my office?
Well, it was a Saturday night. That seems a little off to me.
You know, I don't actually think that's so off because you want to do it when people aren't around. Why make a bigger fuss to do about it? And, you know, Mr. Jefferson and the House counsel said, well, you should notify the lawyer. But, you know, you never notify anybody when you're about to execute a search warrant because you don't want to give anybody the chance to start destroying or removing evidence.
Yeah, but there's always Monday and Friday. The House doesn't usually work on Monday or Friday.
No, but it would be, well, the House doesn't, but the office would be full of people.
Right.
And you would cause quite a scene, I believe, if you suddenly swept in with, you know, a bunch of FBI agents ordering all the staff out of the office, and you would have caused a huge press brouhaha because everybody would have immediately known. It would have been a media circus.
Yeah. All right. Well, Melanie, thanks for your work. And what do you do with a Safavian conviction? Do you have a bottle of bubbly? You put a notch in your belt? What's your
I do
ritual?
A little victory jig around the office.
All right. Well, I hope you have many more to come.
Thank you.
That's Melanie Sloan, CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Now to the Free Speech Zone. My lines are open to hear from you on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Grab a line right now, Central Coast, 831-899-5792, or call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports, including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
KRXA 540 cares about your traffic congestion. That's why Metro Diane is on duty.
Well, we're going to start out in Capitola. We have a new accident coming through northbound 1 before 41st Avenue. CHP has arrived on scene, though, and is working on moving the parties off to a nearby parking lot. In Live Oak, Capitola Road at 7th Avenue, we have an accident reported there. And also the Santa Cruz Mountains, Bear Creek Road at Sunset Ridge Road, fallen power cables across the roadway. So PG&E crews have arrived on scene and are working on that. This report is brought to you by River Rock Casino. Sign up for a Players Club card at River Rock Casino in June and play your way to free gas. It's the gas and cash giveaway, and your play can get you $25 in free gas every day from River Rock Casino in Alexander Valley.
She couldn't believe it.
I know. Was that shock? I'm dying with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and this is what we call the Free Speech Zone. We're wide open for your phone calls on any subject, and you can call with any viewpoint. No political correctness dominates here. Central Coast lines open, 831-899-5792. North Coast or anywhere else if you're listening online, call us toll-free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. As always, you can email me 24/7, Peter at peterbcollins.com. I don't get to answer every email, but I read all of them. And maybe you want to comment on some of the progressive Democrats who were on our program earlier today. Joel Barkin fighting for the minimum wage from the Progressive States Network. Jim Dean, a fascinating guy, just happens to be Governor Howard Dean's brother. And his group, Democracy for America, is supporting progressive challengers across the country. Visit their website and check it out. I think they've got some good things going there. We also talked to Rui Teixeira. He's a co-founder, co-editor of the new website and magazine called TheDemocraticStrategist.com. We also talked to Jason Leopold, who's in the thick of it, getting slammed from various sides, including from the left, for his reporting on Karl Rove. Those subjects are all up for grabs, and you're welcome to call the program with your comment on that or other issues in the news. A couple of other things I want to mention. If people don't call today, beware. I might compliment the right-wing packed Supreme Court. They actually made a decision yesterday that I agreed with, and if nobody calls and things are slow, I'll tell you all about that. If not, we'll probably not get around to it. Now, you've heard that North Korea has fueled up a missile and is getting ready to test it. You may have heard on the top of the hour news that the U.S. military is toying with the idea of trying to use our Star Wars technology to shoot it out of the sky. And I think we should dare our military, after spending over $100 billion on a system of dubious value, I'd like to see them give it a go. Now, we don't know exactly when North Korea will launch this, but it's supposed to be within the next 24 hours. That's more than we would ever know about a sneak attack from an unknown enemy that might try to launch missiles against the United States. So, kind of like Hurricane Katrina, we've already got a leg up. We know a missile's going to be launched, and guess what? We know where it's coming from, North Korea. So what do you say, guys, gals? You've wasted so much of our taxpayer money. Here is a free shot for you to show us that the Star Wars system could actually work. And this is almost as easy as the tests that they've conducted over the Pacific in the last 10 years or so, where they know exactly where the target missile is coming from, they know its trajectory, and they still can't shoot the damn thing out of the sky. So that's my challenge to the Pentagon, to Don Rumsfeld. We know what North Korea is attempting to do. So set the radar for Hyundai or Kia or whatever brand of missile the North Koreans will launch and show us your stuff. Come on. Kill it. Ben and Salinas, thanks for your call. You're on the air.
Peter, not that it's that slow, but I'll answer your question.
Sure.
I agree with you, sir. They should. They got the right to test it, and we've got the damn right to shoot it down. Let's state that what would speak with a louder voice and truth to the world that we can indeed do something that is just technologically difficult.
Well, and Ben, you know, I say this as a critic of the wasted money on Star Wars, but
as
I think it's time
both.
For them to show us that this thing works.
We
and
agree.
If it does, I'll be the first to say, hey, I was wrong.
We agree, sir. We wouldn't feel so bad about the $500 billion that our grandchildren are going to have to pay off. Something I wanted to address, in all the media today, they've said that these servicemen that were taken were tortured. Okay, now, here we've got a Supreme Court that has gone to the bat fighting for the right to torture, including with the support of the Alito, the new makeup of the Supreme Court. We're okay with torturing at Abu Ghraib. We're inventing torture techniques at Guantanamo. And now we're angry because they tortured our people. People don't normally behave like animals. These people have seen their own people tortured, their babies blown to bits in front of them, their mother, their whole world. We're occupying their country, and savage behavior will only make the recurrence, because man has the will and the right to survive, especially on their homeland.
They're trying to get our attention. And
yes,
given
sir.
That they view us as atrocious in our behavior and that we've committed atrocities, they feel that they've got to go to extremes to do that. And I don't want to disrespect respect at all the two soldiers who died, but given the circumstances, we do have to ask, what kind of torture was applied? Did they use, heat and cold and waterboarding? Did they use dogs? Did they, strip them naked to humiliate them and pretend to put electrodes on them? These are legitimate questions as we look at the behavior that we have modeled and is now being mirrored by our enemies.
Well, one thing I heard that turned my stomach, along with the killing of these five little girls, whoever gave the orders for those troops to even be out there in a road check in the middle of hell, that person who ordered them there and their superior, they need to be in prison and questioned. Why are these young men dead? Why are they dead? Some Republican, please call Peter Show and say, why are those people dead? Why are they even there?
Thank you, Ben. And I would like to hear you, if you have an explanation for that. 831-899-5792, Central Coast. Toll free from anywhere else. 888-579-2540. The Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you personalities and interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and travel. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored by the Monterey Salinas Transit's Grapevine Express. The Grapevine Express runs weekends from the Aquarium to Carmel Valley. For more information, call toll-free 888-678-2781 or visit the web at mst.org.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, Riley!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, ably produced by Matt Renner. We are in our free speech zone, welcoming your phone calls. Lines are open right now. Central Coast, 831-899-KRXA. That's 899-5792. You can also call me toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. We do accept calls from cell phones and even from BlackBerries. We'll take more of your calls here in just a moment, but I wanted to bring up something apropos of our discussion yesterday. We were musing with Jake and Billy and perhaps some other callers about why, given the problems in America, given the failings of the Bush administration, why so many people are apathetic. And Steve from Salinas sent me a thoughtful email. He says, I can understand the lack of outrage about what is happening in our country. We feel helpless. I don't think that I can do anything to make things better. The corporate media is doing everything it can to keep us ignorant. When they change the internet rules, it will be even harder for us to know what's happening. The feeling of helplessness is stronger because the Democrats don't seem to want to fight for us. They won't confront a president with a 35% approval rating. They want corporate money, too. I might be a lot happier if I were ignorant about what is happening and just thought about what is best for me and the people close to me. Being oblivious is sometimes bliss. Now, let me ask you about that. Because, frankly, I have friends who no longer read the morning newspaper, who leave the room when I turn on television news in the evening. People who tell me, you know, I just couldn't take any more of it. The lies, the dissembling, the, you know, mischaracterization of good people by bad people. And on one level, I do understand it. But we must resist, and we cannot give in to a sense of helplessness. We're still free. They may be tapping my telephone and, going through my telephone records, maybe even my garbage. But as long as I have a microphone and the freedom to speak, I'm going to continue to do that. And you've got a telephone and access to this media platform right now. So don't go silent. Don't give in to helplessness and a sense of hopelessness. Because if you do, we will all lose. And I want to package this with one other question. And that is, how are you currently able to communicate with people on the other side of issues that you care about? Have you stopped talking to people about the war in Iraq because you know where the conversation will go? Have you stopped talking about Bush, even in a joking manner? Because when you come up against the people who are still drinking the Kool-Aid and haven't let go of their support for this man, it's not only disheartening, but it can be downright annoying. And so I'm curious if you have ideas on how you're coping with this kind of pervasive sense of, you know, things are out of control and I have no control over them. And also how you talk to people who you know don't agree with you. Maybe it's family members. Maybe it's even a partner or spouse. And frankly, there are people who I used to talk with on a regular basis, and I don't feel like picking up the phone and calling them because I feel like I know what they're going to say. And I've heard it before. And I feel that they're hopeless and kind of helpless in their denial about the real failings of this administration and the true cost of Bushism to our society. So if you have thoughts on that, I'd like to hear them, because I think they're related in some ways, different in others, but I think we all confront them on a regular basis these days. 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. John in Carmel Valley, thanks for holding on. You're next.
Peter, one of the ways I've been trying to cope with that feeling of inadequacy is doing more reading. And I had a book playing around for years called Gandhi, His Life and Message for the World by Louis Fisher. It's an old book, and I have the paperback version. It was published first in 1954. And he has an interesting quote, because Gandhi was very interested in Thoreau. And this author quotes Thoreau. And if you'll permit me, I'll read just a little bit of what Thoreau has to say about this very thing, about not just, I mean, how much does it take, how many men does it take to actually affect real change?
I shall permit you. Please, go ahead.
Anyway, it says, like Gandhi, Thoreau believed in the ability and the determined moral minority to correct the evils of the majority. I know this well, Thoreau wrote, that if 1,000, if 100, if 10 men whom I could name, if 10 honest men only, I, if one honest man in this state of Massachusetts, ceasing to hold slaves, were actually to withdraw from the co-partnership with the government and be locked up in the county jail, therefore, it would be for the abolition of slavery in America. For it matters not how small the beginning may seem to be, what is once well done is done forever. But we love better to talk about it. And this is the battle within me, because you can hear it in my voice. I'm not a very confident person, and I ask myself, I mean, how much courage does it take? Well, it takes some, for sure. Certainly Thoreau had it in big amounts, and Gandhi, perhaps even more, and a cooler variety. This book is just more than uplifting. It's extremely informative. So
well, I'm really glad you brought that forward for us today.
I would advise anyone to at least read about Gandhi, read this trilogy about Taylor Branch's trilogy, now all published, about Martin Luther King,
right,
who had he was maybe the biggest struggler of all, because he was apparently highly charged sexually, and it's now pretty well known that he wasn't at all faithful to his wife, but at the same time, and it bothered him terribly. He was very guilt-ridden about that. But his commitment to civil disobedience was incredible. I well remember him when he was saying this live, and I still think it's the most astounding thing I ever heard a public official say. He told this huge crowd that if he were the last one standing there and they had all deserted him because they disagreed with his policy of disobedience, he said he would still proceed with civil disobedience.
And we need people like that who are single-minded, focused on an important goal, and not willing to compromise or be compromised. And I think you've given us two very inspiring people to focus on, humans to be sure, flawed to be sure. But Gandhi and Dr. King really did overcome incredible odds and led others to do so as well. And we need to search and, you know, find that inspiration in our daily lives as well as in public life. And it's not easy. And, you know, it's not just out there like a vending machine where you push a button and it drops out. We have to struggle for it. We have to find it. And, in fact, we in these days, I think, have to create it largely ourselves.
Gandhi was... One of the things that encourages me about him is he was anything but a paragon in his earlier days. He had a terrible temper, apparently, and one day he just got terribly furious at his wife and put her out of the house. And she protested and said, aren't you at all concerned about my welfare and what others will think of us acting like this? And he suddenly came to his senses, and from that moment on, he began his policy of learning what he called even-mindedness, mm-hmm. which was a new term to me. It probably comes out of Hindu and Buddhist thinking and theology, but he literally, the author, Fisher says, he transformed himself. He became another person, which for most of us, we never achieve. We usually stay pretty much the same temperament we've been earlier on with. And if he really achieved that, and apparently he did, it was that in itself was an astounding thing, and it largely explains why he is so revered today.
John, thanks a lot for your call.
Okay.
Really good to hear from you. Harvey next from Eureka. Hello, Harvey. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B. How are you?
Doing okay today. Thanks.
Good. First, let me feel greater. I lived for 8 years in Monterey area there.
Uh-huh.
And 3 years ago, moved up to the North Coast in Trinidad, California, just north of Eureka.
Well, thanks for staying within the sound of my voice.
Well, I like the sound of your voice. I have a burning personal question first before I make my comment.
All right.
There was a restaurant in the Doubletree called Peter B's. Is that any relation to you?
No, but I do collect their swag. I have a hat and some matches from Peter B's.
They made great burgers.
Yeah?
Okay.
Well, I'll have to stop by there and have them serve me one up sometime.
And they brew their own beer. At least they did when I was a resident.
Uh-huh.
Peter B., my concern is the cohesiveness of the Democratic Party. I have recently terminated my membership because they seem dysfunctional. When you see something, you know, an issue that is hotly contested, and then all of a sudden in the House of Representatives it wins 300 to 100,
yeah.
And you wonder, where the heck were the Democrats? Why didn't it go 222 to 200 or something like that, whatever the count is?
Right.
But I am just so disappointed with the cohesiveness of the Democrats. I just wonder how we can pull this off in 2006 and then again in 2008.
Well, there are significant problems, but it might surprise you to hear, Harvey, that in the House of Representatives, Democrats vote in unison about 88% of the time right now. It doesn't come across that way when you look at it vote by vote, but I saw a recent analysis that surprised me. The Republicans are only a couple of percentage points more in unison in terms of their voting as a group. But that said, I fully agree with you. The Democratic Party is a combination of self-centered incumbents who believe that their power and their continuation in office is more important than our interests. We have people like Jane Harman, Dianne Feinstein, and Joe Lieberman who all too often vote with the Republicans, use Republican language, and in essence, undermine whatever potential there is for a cohesive Democratic Party. So it really comes back to us, Harvey, where we have to be very clear with the people who represent us, both at the voting booth, assuming that our votes are accurately counted, and in between elections when we communicate with them. And, you know, that's an obligation that we as citizens have that many people don't step up to. And
I agree.
I don't want to dissuade you. I actually think, several years ago, I re-registered as declined to state or an independent. And I prefer that because, number one, I don't get as much junk mail. And number two, I feel that I can participate in a Democratic primary or a Republican primary when I am moved to do so. But I am not taken for granted by the Democratic leaders who see a number in a column and say, well, you know, those Californians, we know what they're going to do. We can count on them. We don't have to pay attention to them. And so by pulling back your registration, you're sending a signal that more and more people are deserting the two major parties and are looking for representation elsewhere. That's only healthy in my book. Harvey, I got to run, but thanks for your call today. We'll take more calls in just a moment here in the Free Speech Zone, and I'm going to tell you why I think the Supreme Court made a right decision. You'll be shocked. It's all coming up next. Join us toll-free at 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented him from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
KRXA 540 takes a look at traffic one more time. Here's Metro Diane.
We have a new accident coming through from Monterey. It's Highway 68 at York Road. No details just yet, so CHP is en route to check out how many vehicles and if they're blocking any lanes. In Aptos, State Park Drive at Soquel Drive, we have a two-vehicle accident on the right-hand shoulder. Also still working on clearing up an earlier accident in Live Oak. It's Capitola Road at 7th Avenue. Had been a bus and another vehicle involved, so CHP is on scene for that. This report is brought to you by the all-new Toyota Camry Hybrid. The all-new Toyota Camry Hybrid gets an EPA estimated 40 city miles per gallon, and you never have to plug it in. Test drive one at your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, moving forward. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks so much, Diane. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on KRXA 540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Kicking off our program tomorrow in the first hour, Democratic Congresswoman from Chicago, Jan Schakowsky. We talked about her last week. She gave a speech and acknowledged that the Ohio election in 2004 was stolen. And we continue in the free speech zone. A couple of lines open at 888-579-2540. We go to David in McKinleyville. Hi, David.
Hey, Peter B., always a pleasure to speak with you.
Mine too.
I have an issue I want to discuss that occurred last week, but first, based on what you've been talking about, I want to thank you for continuing to discuss the voter fraud and whether or not we're really voting for what's going on. I really appreciate that you're staying on it because it's obviously the most important thing.
I'm only going to stop when I'm satisfied that it's not an issue anymore.
Well, I appreciate that, and I hope folks are paying an awful lot of attention because it's kind of frightening. What I really called you about, last week there was a woman, I heard her on the radio, actually heard her mom, not her. She was in Eugene, Oregon. This is United States military personnel. And she was back after her first, I think it was her second tour of duty, and she had had it, and she was going through post-traumatic stress disorder. And the Eugene police, not the military police, the Eugene police came to this woman's house, picked her up, took her to jail, and we're going to send her back to her unit against her wishes. And I'm wondering if you know about this. I've been trying to get more information about it since it happened last week. There was some info about it when it happened. it really illustrates that we do not have a volunteer army at all, that they're forcing certain segments of our society to continue to fight. And after they've seen what it is that they're doing, they don't want to go back, and they're making them. So really, I just wanted to get that out there and wonder if you know about it and if there's any way to find out more.
You're the first to tell me about this, and I appreciate it. I was kind of offline from my normal news sources last week because I was in Washington for 4 days. So if you could even send me a thread of the basic facts of the story, I'll put some of our folks on it and see if we can track down more information, because I would like to know more about it. And I have a colleague, Peter Laufer, who was on our program about 2 weeks ago, who has a new book out about those who are refusing to return to serve in Iraq. And I can ask him, because he follows that area of stories quite closely. So, David, my email is peter@peterbcollins.com. If you could shoot me a note with anything that can give me a start there, we'll dig into it and cover it on the program as soon as we can find out more.
What I can to send it to you. And again, Peter, I appreciate all your efforts.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
We've got another David. Santa Cruz David is next. Welcome. You're on the air, sir.
Peter B., how are you doing?
I'm okay. How about you?
I'm doing great. You know, I'm a big supporter of your show, and I wanted to call in specifically about the issues that you raised regarding how do you engage people on the right who have very different opinions and outlooks without that turning into an argument or just a discussion where you're talking at each other instead of with each other. And I think that's a great topic to bring up because many of us have experienced this. And I have a couple of observations to make about that. The first is, you know, don't argue opinions, Peter B. I mean, I think once people have established that they have opinions and you have opinions and they're not the same, they're going to dig their heels in. They're not bound to listen to what you have to say. But ask questions. Find out what their values are. If their values are, you know, they believe that rich people should have everything, voting should be rigged, you know you have nothing in common with them. There's no point in having a discussion further. But if you have common values, an example is, let's say you're talking to a Christian. We know that the Christian fundamentalists have been very instrumental in supporting the Republican agenda.
Yeah.
There's a very interesting book out by the Reverend Michael Lerner called The Left Hand of God.
Sure, he's been on our program. He's actually a rabbi.
The rabbi, thank you mm-hmm. very much.
Yeah, the other book that I want to mention in the same vein is Dr. Robin Myers, whose book is called The Christian Right is Wrong. Or I think it's Why the Christian Right is Wrong. It's really well done.
And, you know, and they are wrong, but the way to sort of engage with them is to talk about values. And, you know, if you're Christian, it turns out that, you know, asking questions and getting to those values, you'll find that, you know, that actually underneath the opinions and some of the beliefs that they have, there's some common values that we share. And use that as the basis for discussion. And what you'll find is that people are more open to that, and people will often be receptive when, in the process of asking questions and establishing shared values, you'll find that that there is a way to engage these people in a discussion. While they might not agree with everything you have to say, they might understand things from a little bit different perspective when approached in that way.
I think you make a good point, David. I also think that humor of an appropriate kind can help open people's minds. I often wonder, you know, I have this Republican neighbor, Hank, and he and I are buddies. You know, we get along pretty well. But he's a Republican, and we haven't talked politics for 2 years because last time it just got really uncomfortable. And what I imagine is I'd love to sit down and watch The Daily Show with him and just share a few laughs, you know, without any kind of agenda or you know, my trying to persuade him. And I think that that's one way to get those closed minds to open up a little bit. David, thanks for joining us, and thanks for listening.
Thank you.
All right, nice to talk with you. Well, I threatened, and I'm going to deliver. I am going to issue the first, perhaps the last, compliment to the court that Bush packed. Justices Roberts, Alito, Scalia, and Clarence Thomas. Because they actually made a correct decision. And this was announced on Monday. A California man convicted of trying to take the written portion of a driver's license test for his illiterate cousin, who was sentenced to 26 years to life under the three strikes law, was given a chance at freedom yesterday by the United States Supreme Court. The justices refused to hear an appeal of a 2005 appellate court order telling a federal judge in Riverside to review the criminal record of the suspect and decide whether he should be resentenced. His name is Santos Reyes, and he's a guy with a terrible record. He was convicted of juvenile burglary in 1981, an adult conviction for armed robbery in 1987, no other crimes, and then in 1997, he went to the DMV and took the test for his illiterate cousin. And that was considered a third strike under the misguided three strikes law here in California, which I have virulently opposed since it was put on the ballot by the NRA, Michael Huffington, and a guy from Fresno. And after the bad rulings last week about the detainees after 9/11 and about the no-knock search rule, it's kind of nice to see the Supreme Court call one in my direction.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Tom Hartman.
You go to MerleHaggard.com, the guy who did the song Okie from Muskogee, and right there on his site is him doing a music video of his song where he's saying basically no to the Bushies.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
I'm telling you, when you've lost Merle Haggard, then you know George W. Bush is in serious, serious trouble. When country music fans turn against the president, the most conservative part of America is gone, and they're not going to come back.
Tom Hartman.
Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. North Korea responds to warnings from the United States. A North Korean diplomat at the UN is quoted as saying a test of a new long-range missile would not be a violation of his country's self-imposed moratorium because it only applies when North Korea is in dialogue with the United States. The issue can be resolved, he says, through negotiations. With a launch possible at any time, CBS News correspondent David Martin reports the Pentagon is poised to test its limited missile defense system.
The first sign of a North Korean launch would come from an infrared satellite, which would detect the heat of the missile's rocket plume as it lifted off the pad. As the missile gained altitude, it would be picked up by the radar of an Aegis cruiser and then by a giant radar based in Alaska. Within 3 or 4 minutes, the radars would have collected enough data to compute the trajectory of the missile and answer the all-important question. Where is it going to land?
If it appears headed for the western United States, several interceptor missiles would be fired to increase the odds of taking it down. When two soldiers from California were killed in Iraq 2 years ago, it was attributed to an ambush. But now, reportedly, Army investigators have concluded the men were murdered by Iraqi civil defense officers who were on patrol with them. From Baghdad, CBS News correspondent Lee Cowan reports the two soldiers kidnapped last Friday and killed by insurgents were apparently brutalized before they died.
The spokesman for Iraq's defense minister said that there were signs that the bodies had been tortured, and given the fact that it took quite a while for the U.S. military to actually identify them, that might indicate that they were in fact tortured. Some reports indicate that they may have been burned. Some reports say they were not clearly recognizable at the scene where they were found, not far from where they disappeared on Friday.
CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer is traveling with President Bush in Europe.
In its first public comment on the soldiers' deaths, the White House calls the attack a reminder that the U.S. is confronting a brutal enemy that does not follow any rules. National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley told reporters aboard Air Force One, the insurgents are attacking civilians and provoking violence for political gain.
Mr. Bush is in Vienna for meetings with European leaders. He'll visit Hungary on Thursday. A promising development in stem cell research. Scientists at Johns Hopkins University say they treated paralyzed lab rats with stem cells from mice and a mixture of chemicals to induce nerve damage repair. The rats